much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Watch out, everyone. It's all bad.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hey, this is Rachel Nichols Baxter, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean.
Hi, Bean. You know, I've always really fancied you and had a really good time on your show, but after an interview like today, I love you even more. More than I ever thought I could, really. That offer to slit your wife's throat, I think I'll take you up on it. Come back down. Come visit me. I'm sure you know where I live. I mean, you are, after all, a bit of a stalker. Bye.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
I have one thing to say. All girls are shady.
Whoa.
There it is.
I want to know where to go. I want to go. Give me the go. I want to go.
And now.
Girl, you make me want to get you pregnant. Girl, you make me want to get you pregnant.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, that means Christmas to me, that song.
I missed R. Kelly yesterday. We didn't play any R. Kelly yesterday on the show.
No.
We took a day off from being pregnant.
Well, we only that one song is the only one we have so far. When does the new CD come out?
It's out. It's been out a couple of weeks already.
Oh, really? We're going to have somebody go through it.
Yeah, we need to.
That's the only thing I've heard so far, but that alone justifies buying the album. I'll tell you that.
And it also guarantees there's other gold on that CD. It's not like that's a one-off crazy,
sure.
And everything else is perfectly normal.
Don't go down and buy that yourself, Kevin. I'm just saying, Christmas is right around
all right.
The corner.
All right.
Oh, there you go. Anything away.
Good time. Well, that was vague enough. I don't have any idea what you're saying.
Hey, it is Tuesday. We are going to go right to your calls at 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew. A couple of minutes ago, Kevin, before you got in, we gave away some tickets for both nights of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009.
Wow. The early edition.
So I think line 3 is caller 20, so let's go to him or her and give them the good news.
Hello.
Hey, is this Rick?
Yes, it is.
What can we do for you?
I'm just trying to get tickets to Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Dude, this is your lucky day. You got them both nights.
No way.
In the pit.
You guys are freaking awesome. We've been trying to win tickets like ever since Almost Acoustic Christmas ever came out for like the last 15 years. From like, I just moved to San Diego from LA because I'm in the Navy, and we just dropped off our friend who's moving to Hawaii. My wife's crying, and now like everything is like freaking awesome. You guys are the best.
You think your wife's crying now? Wait till I tell you we're also going to give you backstage passes.
No way.
Yes.
Holy crap. That is
yes.
Awesome. We're getting backstage passes.
Both nights.
For both nights.
Yep.
This, you guys are, oh my God, this is like the best ever right now. You have no idea.
Do you guys have a time machine?
Do we have a time machine?
Yeah. Do you have one? Do you own one currently?
No, I don't.
Oh, that's such a shame because the concerts were this past weekend.
What?
Saturday and Sunday, yeah.
Oh, my God. You guys are jacked up.
What happened?
Oh, that felt good.
From the highest high to the lowest high.
Wow. That Bean loves good. To do that more than anything on the planet.
A little something for a serviceman right there.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That really put the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Guy's out there putting his life on the line for you.
Yeah, not
that's
about
the way
that.
You pay him back.
He's
in the Navy, man. I don't know about that. Yeah. Good. It's a good way to start the day. You know, that. Now I'm in the holiday spirit. Now I feel like Christmas.
What happened?
Yeah. Exactly. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Anything but tickets to the concert that's already happened. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
By the way, at the shows this weekend, Lisa, I don't know if you noticed, but Steve made a rare appearance. He was the guy who was taping our interviews when we were interviewing the artists backstage.
He was? That was Steve?
That was Steve.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Actually, they're in person. He usually doesn't get out in person, but Steve was actually with the Kevin and Bean Show on Saturday and Sunday night. So it was
I can't believe I missed
How could you not have known that? You were there both nights.
I drank.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. How about a copy of Inglourious Basterds? Just out on DVD today. That is an awesome, awesome movie with Quentin Tarantino. And he, of course, is the director. And by the way, we'll find out Golden Globe nominations in a few minutes here. And I'm certainly anticipating that the actor who played the, you know, the top Nazi in that movie, he's got to be nominated for Golden Globe and an Oscar, right?
Oh, yeah, I think both. Yeah, he's amazing.
Christopher Waltz, whatever his name was, he's amazing. It's a great movie. You'll love it. Available on Blu-ray, high-def, DVD today. You win a copy just for being on the air with us.
All right. Let's begin with Todd. Good morning, Todd.
What it do, guys? What it do, Linda?
What it do?
What's going on?
You guys heard anything about this show on BBC America called Britain's Missing Top Model?
No.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
What?
Yes, I have.
Have you seen it?
I've seen photos of all of this year's contestants. Describe to people who can't figure it out from the name what's going on with this show.
Well, obviously, there's two differences. One, obviously, the show is done in Britain. And two, all the girls in this show have some kind of disability. Two of them have arm amputations. One's missing a leg. One's in a wheelchair. Two are deaf. One has some kind of nerve disorder, and she has MS on top of that, and then there's some other problem with one of the other girls.
Wow.
Oh, it's so hot.
Those people are going right to hell.
Aren't they, though? Right?
Wow.
Well, the way they, my understanding is, they're very sensitive to that, and they're saying, look, just because you have an arm missing doesn't mean you can't be not only a beautiful woman, but a viable model. Doesn't mean that you can't, you know, still work if that's your dream.
Yeah, and they trot them out all over England. They put them in.
Well, they roll them out.
I got to be honest.
Roll them out.
I've seen a lot of magazines and stuff like that. I've never really seen a model without an arm.
It really does seem to be a career stopper. You want to.
I mean, you could say that for this show, but then where are they really going to work?
Right. It's definitely a niche category. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But oh, I saw the surfer.
It. Don't get me wrong, surfer. I'll find it.
Oh, I know you will. You love the BBC America show.
Yeah.
I saw the surfer who got her arm ripped off by a shark on the Today Show the other day, and she's pretty hot. I could see her doing some surfing modeling, at least.
Maybe in that world, yeah, because she's well-known.
But the problem is you look at her and you go, hey, she's pretty. Wait a minute, she doesn't have an arm.
And also, her prior career was based on performance. Not looking at
that's
her.
True. Yeah. That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Not just.
All right. Let's take Austin. He's on line two. He's got some big breaking news today in the Tiger Woods story. Just when you thought that it couldn't get any weirder.
Hey, Austin.
Oh, my name's Oscar from.
Hey, Oscar.
What's cracking?
What's cracking?
What did you do, nephew?
What's going on?
Hey, I was listening to some news radio, and it just so happens to be that Tiger Woods' doctor happened to get popped crossing the border on into. Canada with some performance-enhancing drugs.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Now, they don't say exactly what they are, except that they can be spent with blood platelets or something like that for, like, when Tiger had his knee surgery and he had to get back together real quick so he could get back on the golf course or,
right,
you know, so, over to his girlfriend's house.
Yeah, exactly.
So let me ask Mike the question, since he's the expert on all performance-enhancing drugs. Are there some of those that are used just to help athletes come back from injury and some of them that would not be considered using to give them an advantage out on the field?
Yeah, there's definitely some that could be on the up and up, but the fact that he was going back and forth throughout outside the country and he's a doctor, I mean, he shouldn't be needing to go outside of the country to get drugs that he could get his hands on easily
and legally.
A registered doctor. So that's bad news.
It looks kind of shaky, right?
Yeah.
But he's not only Tiger's doctor, I don't imagine. Right?
I don't think so. No.
So, I mean, that sounds tenuous at best
well, that's
as far
a good
as.
Point.
This happened in October, but for some reason, we're just finding out about this.
He treated a bunch of other athletes, including a lot of NFL players and a couple of Olympic athletes as well. So the investigation continues, but Tiger doesn't need this kind of news.
No, he doesn't.
Right? He's too busy juggling his bitches to worry about his doctor.
He's got hoes in every area code.
That's true.
I have heard that, actually. All right, we got to talk to line seven. Yeah, Eric is calling us with a real problem at home.
Yeah, Eric.
Hey, what's going on? I just got my wife and my wife's sister pregnant.
What?
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
You got your wife and her sister pregnant.
I found out 2 weeks ago my wife was pregnant. You know, jolly news. I just got back from deployment right on. 2 days later, I found out, or 2 days before, 2 days ago, I just found out I got my wife's sister pregnant.
Oh.
You're
I don't know.
A bad man?
You're first of all, you're the man. First of all, you rule. Second of all, you're an idiot.
Now, how long have you been having this alleged affair with your wife and her sister?
Oh, I don't know.
So a long time.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Well, if it's only been 2 weeks, then you wouldn't know that she was pregnant.
She's pregnant.
You could. Right. I think you could know in 2 weeks.
Can you?
I think.
So, really? All right. How many times did you sleep with your wife's sister? Only the once?
No. 3, 4, 5, 6 times maybe.
6 times.
Oh, yeah.
Does your wife know?
No, I haven't told her yet.
Can we call her?
I'm calling BS. I'm calling BS on this whole call.
Can we call her?
No, she's gone. She just left for deployment.
What do you... She's
in
the Army, too?
I just got back from deployment. Huh?
She's in the Army, too?
What's that? No, she's a Marine.
A Marine, okay. So where did she go and for how long?
She went to Iraq for 9 months.
Okay.
But she's pregnant.
No, they're going to find... See, they won't say... She's going to find out she's pregnant... And then they're going to send her back. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not going to be like, oh, well, I'm pregnant. No, you're not going on deployment anymore. But so what they're going to do is while she's in Iraq, they're going to find out she's pregnant, and then they're going to send her back.
Whoa.
Okay, so she's not.
Oh, the language.
We need people in Iraq, so let's send her anyway.
Yeah.
Then she's going to get
a good 3 or 4 months out of her before she starts the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Here's what we can do for you. Backstage passes and tickets in the pit for both nights of the Almost Acoustic Christmas show.
Really?
Yep.
Yes. Congratulations.
I heard that show was already done with.
It was. It was last weekend. I mean, it was
last weekend.
Which
but
is why
tickets,
we can give you the passes.
Right. The tickets are yours if you want them, though. It's up to you.
You just heard that, and we just heard that you got your wife and her sister pregnant.
Right.
Yeah.
So I thought you'd take the tickets because clearly you don't turn down any opportunities.
All right. Thanks.
All right. No worries.
All right.
Hold on.
Have a good day.
I don't know. You know, doesn't pass the smell test.
I agree. There's something really bizarre going on with that.
Seems shaky to me, too. But I want it to be true because it's awesome. And it gives, you know, Maury Povich a new episode for next season.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's true.
So I'm happy about that. Well, that was an unusual start for today, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, as a matter of fact. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show.
All right. Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
We have Rob Dyrdek.
Yes, we do.
On the program today. We're excited about that. He's got a new skate park he's opening up he wants to tell us about.
Okay.
He's also, you'll love this, Kevin, he's soliciting for ideas for the next season of Fantasy Factory. So if you got any, I know you love that show.
I do.
Maybe you can get on it.
It's one of my favorite shows. That along with Nitro Circus. That's a full night. We have the Armenian comedian on the program today. And before you let that deter you from listening, we have a matter to discuss with him of great seriousness.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
Right, but when we get him on the air and we start asking him about his threats about, you know, blowing up the station, you know, that has to happen.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Our friend of the show.
Uh-huh.
All right, then.
Yeah. So it's not going to go as a normal
appearance. All right, now
appearance.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
This is why you don't make friends with foreigners. I learned one thing.
We have a great instant request for you today. We have Mr. Skin on the program.
Yes.
2009 top celebrity nude scenes.
Can't wait.
We have Matt Money Smith coming into the studio talking sports. We have Seth MacFarlane on the program today.
Wow.
Talking about Family Guy. And we have a little fellow by the name of Fletcher from Pennywise.
Just a little guy.
On the show today. And we have many questions for him about stealing the tram this past weekend and driving it down to the Jaws exhibit and then hiding in the War of the Worlds and then getting caught by the police, and then, I don't know, it's a lot of questions.
And like the Armenian comedian, a guy who's experienced at taking over this station with bomb threats.
That's true. Done the same.
Your point.
Two guys in the same day.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. So, very exciting. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph Garman joins us on a very, very busy day for the guy walking the Showbiz Beat with the Golden Globe nominations this week. How are you, Ralph?
Oh, Golden Globe!
Yeah, they just announced them this morning. Lots of nominations for the Golden Globe because they have about 400 billion categories.
Keep me updated on this. Are these important? Not important.
Yes, Golden Globe, hugely important, my friend Kevin.
All right, good.
Because they are given by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
Right.
These are the folks from all over the world who pick and choose what they like best about American television and film.
Okay.
And they are inevitably at least an indicator when it comes to the Academy Award and the Emmy nominations for film and television. So
those other two follow this closely?
This is very important often. to the people in the entertainment industry, because it does give them sort of a precursor as about who's going to end up being honored by both of those other austere organizations.
All right.
So let's take a look at what's been nominated this year. The nice thing about the Golden Globes is they do have a best motion picture category for both comedy slash musical and drama. So comedies and musicals tend to get their just desserts here, as opposed to the Oscars, which traditionally has ignored comedy.
Right.
Although they love musicals, they don't like comedy so much. However, this year, there will be 10 Best Picture nominees in the Oscars, so that may loosen up considerably.
No kidding.
But the nominees for Golden Globe for Best Musical slash Comedy, 500 Days of Summer, The Hangover, It's Complicated, Julie and Julia, and Nine.
Nine.
Okay. Which, of course, means no in German, mm-hmm. So I'm guessing it has no chance of winning. Because this is the Foreign Press Association.
It's true.
It's Complicated. It hasn't even come out yet, by the way.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
That's comes out on Christmas Day.
Meryl Streep, Alec Baldwin feature film.
No.
Steve Martin,
mm-hmm.
romantic comedy.
Nah,
for old broads.
Nah.
Best Drama, Avatar.
Nope.
Hurt Locker, Inglorious Bastards, which I would hardly call a drama.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Precious, and Up in the Air. Those are your biggies.
Is there a fat category? Do they have that for fat? Because then Precious would just clean up.
No, Kevin, there is no fat category.
Wouldn't it be better if there was?
But nice work.
Wouldn't it be better?
The fat category.
Wouldn't it be
coming
better
up with that? There is, however, Best Drama TV and Best Comedy TV categories. Best Drama TV, the nominees are Big Love, Dexter, House, Mad Men, and True Blood. The Usual Suspects. By the way, did you catch up on Dexter yet? Have you seen the Dexter?
Yes.
Have you seen
yes.
Sunday's
Only
Dexter?
Yes.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Only yes.
Oh, sweet heavens.
You can talk about it if you want. I'm late on it.
It's
I know.
Amazing. It's an amazing episode.
That show rules.
It's the season finale, and it did not disappoint. TV Best Comedy, 30 Rock, Entourage, Glee, Modern Family, and The Office. They're your nominees.
Wow, four of those are good.
Which one do you not like?
Entourage is a horrible show.
Oh, it's not
a
horrible
show.
Stop it.
It is.
Stop it. Best Actor in a Drama, Jeff Bridges for Crazy Heart, George Clooney, Up in the Air, Colin Firth, Single Man, Morgan Freeman, Invictus, and Tobey Maguire for Brothers. Great list of guys there. Best Actress in a Drama, Emily Blunt, The Young Victorian.
Oh, that looks good.
Sandra Bullock, The Blind Side. Come on, seriously. Helen Mirren, Last Station, Carey Mulligan in Education, and Gabby Fat Farhead in Precious.
See, fat category.
I don't know. Sidibi. It's her last name.
Okay.
Can't pronounce it. I'll give you more headlines as the day progresses in terms of who was nominated. But we got some other stuff we want to touch on while we have a couple minutes. John Frusciante has quit the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, my God.
Again. Apparently, MusicRadar.com says John wants to concentrate on his solo career, which involves largely drooling and eating tapioca pudding.
Was there a comment for Mr. Frusciante?
Oh, look, the puppy's pooping!
No, there you see. There was the problem.
There
get
was
a
problem.
Lot of this
he was distracted easily. Kourtney Kardashian had her baby yesterday morning here in Los Angeles. E! News reports that the baby boy weighed in at 7 pounds 6 ounces. His name, Mason Dash Disick.
Dash?
Mason Dash Disick. Not like a dash. I'm actually right. D-A-S-H. Middle name, Dash. Mason Disick.
Terrible name.
Sounds like something when you, you're on the open seas. You don't eat enough vitamin C. You right. With the Mason Disick.
That's been their brand name for a long time, the
Dash,
Kardashian
right?
family.
Yeah.
That's what they named their store and their clothing line.
Right.
And the, I guess their promotion company, too. I mean, come on. You're going to
name
your kid
marketing the kid, I guess.
Yeah. Now, how long do they have to keep that kid away from Aunt Chloe, worrying that she might eat him? I mean, if he's little enough, you gotta be, that's got to be a real concern, right?
Yes. Yes, Bean. It is a real concern.
I believe the age is 15.
Oh, wow. Up until there, they got to keep him sequestered.
That's correct.
And speaking of bad parents, looks like Courtney Love is no longer the mother of her 17-year-old daughter, Frances Bean Cobain.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this week, finally, the courts stepped in and relieved her of that arduous task.
Really?
What happened?
And provided legal guardianship to Frances Bean's aunt, Kimberly Dawn Cobain, and Wendy O'Connor, her grandma. Of course, Kurt's mom, Wendy O'Connor, and sister Kimberly Dawn Cobain will now take over all the legal and financial aspects of Frances Bean Cobain's life, at least for the next year until she turns 18, and then she's on her own.
Did something happen?
Yeah. Courtney Love has not been a good mother for 17 years.
No, I know, but I'm just asking if there was an incident that we know of.
Like, I think it was just extended. This latest bout of insanity has been going for long enough that someone decided to finally step in. So there you go. Courtney has some more free time on her hands now.
Wow, that's the last thing she needs.
To not make music or go or make movies.
Right. Today's celebrity birthday is Don Johnson. Heartbeat!
Yeah.
Of course, the star of Miami Vice. And let's not forget Guilty as Sin, which I always thought was the worst name for a thriller ever.
Guilty as Sin.
If I'm going in, you're telling me he's guilty as sin. Doesn't that take the thriller aspect out of it? Doesn't that suck all the whodunit right out of this movie?
Is that the one where he's humping Virginia Madsen?
That is that movie.
Yeah, yeah. It rocks.
That's what they should have called it.
Humping Virginia Madsen. Yeah. Now that I would go to.
Much better.
Don Johnson is 60 years old today. Adam Brody of the OC is 30 years old. And what do you get the man who has everyone? Stuart Townsend. Actor.
Yes.
From Queen of the Damned and from other feature films. More importantly, the significant other of the lovely Charlize Theron.
Oh, how dare you.
Mike.
He is the speed bump, though, right, Ralph?
Stuart is 37 years old today. Apparently, his lovely wife, by all accounts, Charlize, is now pulling some strings over there in South Africa because he's a big soccer fan, so she's hooking him up with really good seats for the World Cup. So that's who she is.
She is pretty much
what she does.
She is pretty much the spokesperson for the World Cup. So every time there's something, she's there, and you go, yeah.
Yeah, she hosted the draw, didn't she, Kevin?
Yep.
She is sort of the highest profile celebrity to come out of South Africa for some time. So I think they tend to use her in a, you know, as a face of the country.
No, I'm glad that happens.
Which is an excellent face. If your country needs a face, that's a good one to have right there.
How about a little less time worrying about that model, a little more time letting Nelson Mandela out of jail? Why don't they work on that first before they start thinking about soccer?
He's out.
Just say it.
He's
been poor guy, and they're just rotten while we're running around with Charlize Theron.
All comes down to the rugby game.
He's been out for some time.
Oh, if they win the rugby game, they let him out?
That's a movie that happened a long time ago.
Kevin explained it. I'm good now. I got it now.
He's free.
It's all good. He's been president of that country for some time.
He escaped?
Are you kidding me? No, he was released. Apartheid is now over, actually.
I didn't even know he could play soccer.
South Africa. That never gets old.
Not does.
I'm Rob Grumman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 10 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Mr. Skin, Mr. Skin, Mr. Skin.com.
Mr. Skin's got a jingle. I love that.
Yes, he does.
Because Mr. Skin is the greatest human on earth, and we find his site absolutely skin valuable. MrSkin.com is what it is. The 2009 top celebrity nude scenes. Screw the Golden Globe nominations that came out today. This is the break I've been looking forward to. Hey, Mr. Skin, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Happy holidays.
How are you? Happy holidays to you, too.
Let's talk about boobs.
Bean?
Hey, what's going on?
Let me tell you the research I've been doing on boobs.
It's going to be very skinformative.
Oh, man,
Did we lose Mr. Skin? Did we not have him on the phone?
My top 2009 celebrity nude scenes are...
We did the big intro. We got no Mr. Skin?
Yeah. Natalie Portman.
He somehow somehow got dumped. I don't know what happened.
Okay, that's all right.
Phones here have a mind of their own, really. And if the phones
Droped, according to Miss Cleo, he droped.
He droped. Yeah. Now they're saying I hung up on him. Don't you? How dare you? I wasn't even in the room.
No, I'm not the great Mr. Skin, but I'm a aficionado of topless scenes.
Sure.
And let me give you a couple that I can think of off the top of my head from 2009 that better be in there. That broad named Betsy in My Bloody Valentine. That's
one.
We'll
find out. Okay. Mr. Skin's back on the line, so we are going to find out.
Best thing ever.
All right.
Number six.
Okay.
Yeah, there he is.
Well, he knows what he's doing.
Mr. Skin, happy holidays. First of all, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin and B.
So we were saying right before you came on that this is screw the Golden Globes, screw the Oscars. Your conversation every year, the one that we have with you at this time of year, where you talk about the year that was in nude. That's the one we look forward to. Tell us where we start. Who's number 10?
Well, let me. I should first say that this year is especially good because I've combined for the first time ever TV and movies in the same list. In the past, I do like movie, a 10 best movie and 10 best TV. So this is all combined.
Now, why did you do that? Seems like there's plenty of boobs to go around.
Well, you know, it's to the point now where the TV nudity is at equal level with movie nudity.
Yeah, that's
true. So I just felt, why separate them? And,
all right.
And I'd rather have the better the list, that's what I'd rather talk about. So, yeah, let's start with number 10. There was a summer blockbuster called Watchmen this year, and Malin Ackerman played Silk Spectre 2.
Yes, she did.
A couple of really nice nude scenes. I preferred the one on Mars. The lighting on Mars is very good. She's standing there completely naked with Patrick Wilson. So.
Mars is known for their lighting.
Yeah.
That's true.
See, now, and I should interject here for folks who haven't caught on to what goes on. This is why Mr. Skin is the most valuable resource in the world, is because you may not have gone to see Watchmen. And now you may be thinking, do I want to rent that or not? Now you know there's a reason to, and it's Malin Ackerman.
Right, exactly. And a lot of people might know her, if you remember, in a little movie called Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Oh, sure.
The girl that was naked in that. Yep. So it's always
God
cool when there's an R-rated blockbuster. Most of them are PG-13. So anyway, that's number 10 on the list. Now, number 9, there's a really cool new show on HBO called Hung that came out in 2009 with Thomas Jane as a kind of a male prostitute. And he hooked up this year with his neighbor. Now, he's living in a tent. She's in a mansion with her husband. Her name is Alana Ubach. And people might know her as Reese Witherspoon's best friend from the Legally Blonde movie. She played Serena. And she had never been naked. And they had a really pretty wild sex scene. And she was topless in it. And that came in at number 9 in the best nudes of 2009.
Does that knock them up the list a little bit? I mean, do you give them an extra boost if it's the first time?
Yeah, that's always important. If Shannon Tweed does a nude scene, it's not going to have the same impact.
Right,
right.
Good point.
Yeah, but no, debuts are big, and there's a lot of debuts on this list.
All right.
Number 8 is from Friday the 13th. Her name is Juliana Gill. When this movie came out, which was a remake of the classic movie from the 80s, I had so many people asking me, who was that girl topless in Friday the 13th? And because they were blown away by how good she looked and how perfect her breasts were. And her name is Juliana Gill, and she comes in at number 8 in the best nudes of 2009.
I wanted to ask you, Mr. Sin, because you spent more time looking at boobs than any man on earth, except for maybe Hugh Hefner. Are those are hers real? Because
yeah,
they are about as perfect as you can get.
Right. And that's why you have to see them moving, like the video clip, because then you know you could tell they're real and they're pretty wild. So
I am skin indebted to you for that information.
Thank you. Now, number 7 is another great pair, if you will, and I'm not talking about Harrison Ford and Ray Liotta, who starred in this movie Crossing Over, but Alice Eve is the girl, and Ray Liotta is an immigration officer, and Alice Eve has to sleep with him to get her green card, and it's a pretty cool scene, and she is playing an Australian model trying to, like I said, get her green card, and she is another girl. She looks a little like Elizabeth Shue with natural, you know, big breasts, and
right, yeah,
kind of has the puppy dog ears that they got, kind of go to the side, like, you know. So
is that how you get a green card? Is that the
you have to sleep with Ray Liotta?
The process, okay. All
right. I wondered how my gardener got here so fast.
Again,
so number 6 on our best nude scenes of 2009. You mentioned it right before I came on, but Betsy Ruined My Bloody Valentine 3D. This is the best 3D nude scene in the history of film.
There you go. Wow.
I can tell you that. It's all 3Bs for 3 minutes in 3D. It's outstanding stuff. She's not a household name, but she is the proud owner of the greatest 3D nude scene of all time.
All right.
Psycho Mike, are you happy now, Psycho Mike? Mr.
Yeah.
Skin came through for you.
Now it's acceptable.
All right, we're to the top 5 now. This is getting good.
Number 5, Ashton Kutcher had a movie that came out this summer called Spread. And it did not do great at the box office, though I loved the movie. There were so many hot, naked chicks in it, and he plays a kind of a, I guess, a gigolo that's with a bunch of girls up in the Hollywood Hills of all ages. And one of them was Rachel Blanchard, and people might remember her as Cher on TV's Clueless. And she is sitting on a bathtub, Ashton Kutcher, razor in hand, and it's a wild scene. But Rachel Blanchard in Spread is number 5.
All right.
Number 4. Yes, number 4 from True Blood, Anna Paquin. You know, in season 1 of True Blood, She made her nude debut, and there was much rejoicing at the Mr. Skin offices. But what we didn't know was that she would top that or topless that
right.
in season two. And it really her nudity in season two was better than even in season one.
Yeah, she stepped it up a bit. I remember watching season one thinking, this is a pretty, you know, R-rated type show. A lot of girls showing them off. But Anna Paquin, you know, she's considered the actor.
An actor.
Kind of
serious
actress
who won an Oscar and the whole deal, right?
And then she did, and there was great rejoicing, like you say.
Yeah, it's great. She plays Suki Stackhouse, and Suki came in at number four, the best nude moments of 2009. Now, number three... Amber Heard in The Informers. Now, she is the girl that was in Pineapple Express, Seth Rogen's girlfriend, the blonde. She's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
She was also on the cover of Maxim magazine. In The Informer, she's naked about five times, but I prefer this scene where she does a strip tease for these two guys, and it's very, very hot. If you know Pineapple Express, you'll really dig. You'll really want to see this. Amber Heard in The Informers is number three.
Mr. Skin, we had Amber Heard in as a guest on the show. She came into the studio, and she is just stunning in person, too. I mean, really, really beautiful woman.
I agree. She's beautiful. So she's number three. Now, number two was the most anticipated nude scene of 2009.
That's
what
true.
What I mean by that is... I knew in 2008, as did a lot of people, that Jessica Biel was going to be playing a stripper in an upcoming movie called Powder Blue. But as you guys know, I'm often disappointed when an actress is supposed to do a sex scene in an upcoming movie or is supposed to take her clothes off. Many times it's a disappointment, not how they look, but that it doesn't happen or you can't see it or you cut at the wrong time.
Exactly.
This is one of the rare moments where the actual nudity was better than the hype. And what I mean is at the hour and 8 minute mark, she strips down to a thong for 3 minutes, goes around the stripper pole, and caps it off by pouring candle wax on her own breast.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Jessica Biel in Powder Blue. And I don't know how many people saw this movie. I've done more promotion of this film than any powerful PR agency ever could attempt.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I've only really talked about 3 minutes of it starting at the hour and 8 minute mark. But hey, it's a great reason to see the film. And she's beautiful. Yeah, she
looks and by all accounts, it's a terrible movie. And most of the people who did bother to see it was only based on hearing that Jessica Biel was naked in it.
Right. And they probably heard that from me.
And that's good enough. Exactly.
Number one, the greatest nude scene of 2009. From the TV show Californication, Eva Amore, who is the real-life daughter of Susan Sarandon, and it's a really cool storyline. She is a student in David Duchovny's class, and she has like 36 double D, they're ridiculous and real. And she moonlights to make extra money in college as a stripper, and him and his agent walk in to the strip club, and lap dance ensues, and it is ridiculous. You don't see actresses with that big natural breast show them off in a mainstream movie or TV show that often. It's a special treat.
That's true. And it also wasn't a rushed 20-second truncated version of a strip.
You're right.
Until you see those upside down on a strip before,
that's right.
You've never lived.
That's right. You need to check every pair that way.
and Mr. Skin, by the way, I watched the Californication, and remember the episode just before that, he gives her a ride to the strip club, drops her off, and then she goes in without him. And you're sitting at home going, no! No, the show can't end with her going into the strip club and closing the door, but thank God they came back and paid it off next year.
That's the one thing you can always count on with Californication.
Yeah.
You won't be disappointed. They put hot chicks naked as often as the writing is good on the show, so it happens often.
And sometimes more.
Yeah,
you sometimes. You can see photos and clips of everything we've described here today at MrSkin.com. I'm telling you what, for less than a buck a day, it's simply the best site on the Skinternet. Mr. Skin, we love having you on the program. We hope you have a fantastic holiday season, and we can't wait to see you and more boobs in 2010, my friend.
Yeah, it's going to be a good year. Looking forward to it. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, man.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. A lot of listeners want to thank you for not interrupting the music, too, Kevin. They appreciate when you give them the chance to hear it all the way to the end.
It's important to me.
So thank you for that. Our friend Rob Dyrdek from the Fantasy Factory on the program today. Also, the Armenian comedian. Fletcher recaps how he almost got arrested Saturday night at the Almost Acoustic Christmas concert. And we'll talk some sports with Matt Money Smith coming up in about a half an hour or so right here on the Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we got to take care of a little bit of business left for us on the Afro line.
Hey, my name is Jim from Fresno, and I'd like to make an instant request. I want to hear Steven Seagal and Spencer Pratt talk about who has accomplished more in their life.
Listen up, everyone. want new instant.
Make a request.
Instant request. Kevin and Beans.
Instant request.
Now, the caller brings up a good point because Spencer Pratt, who's in the studio with us right now from the Hills. Hey, Spence, dog.
Living the dream, kid.
Every time we talk to Spencer, he makes up some other BS thing that he claims to have done or invented or seen or own. And he just is nothing but a lying, liar, lies. And we found out.
Believe me, it ain't fantasy, kid. It ain't fantasy. I'm really living that life.
Yeah, sure. And we found out when we watched episode one of Steven Seagal Lawmen, that new reality series, that he is the same thing. And I think that's why the listener wants to find out just who has contributed more to the world. So let's say hello to the great Steven Seagal Lawmen on the phone with us as well. Hi, Steven.
That's right. Steven Seagal.
Right. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Let me first say I'm a big fan, Mr. Seagal. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm a big fan of yours too, Spencer.
Wow. Hey, that's awesome, man. All right. Hey, you want to go to Teddy's later? Maybe Ledoux?
I think it'd be great.
All right.
Now, Steven, we couldn't help from noticing in your first show, Lawmen, that you have a pretty high view of yourself and your skills.
It's not that I've just accomplished a lot. I've been studying martial arts for 40 years. I've been a cop for 20 years.
Right.
I'm an accomplished blues musician.
No, not accomplished.
I started the Red Lobster restaurant.
That did not happen.
That's impressive, kid.
Ended World War II.
I don't think you ended World War II.
By dropping the bomb.
It wasn't you.
Yeah. That's right.
No, I think that's true.
Yeah.
What?
I think he's right because I'm the original editor of Vanity Fair. I remember writing about that.
Yeah, I heard that. I enjoyed your work.
And it's cool that you study, martial arts because I do as well. I'm Bruce Lee.
That's what I heard.
What?
I heard you are.
Yeah. How are you, Bruce Lee? He's dead. You said on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here that you were a black belt. You didn't say you're Bruce Lee.
I'm Bruce Lee and a Russian nesting doll.
Wow.
I'm a rhinestone cowboy, and I invented the cookie.
You invented the cookie?
Yeah.
That's amazing, because I came up with cookie dough ice cream.
Ah, I love that stuff.
And the Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah.
Wow, we wouldn't have this world if we didn't have you two.
I am a founding member of NSYNC, and I'm also radioactive.
I was born in Valhalla.
That's great. I played Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I captured Billy the Kid.
Yeah. You didn't.
I did.
None of that happened.
I am the real Santa Claus.
I designed the dreidel.
I discovered the Shroud of Turin.
I was Ava Gabor's lover.
None of this is true. What's wrong with you two?
I gave Tina Fey her scar.
Oh, that's killer, man.
Yeah, wow. I designed
Lewis
there.
And Clark's wagon.
That's great.
All right.
Okay. We definitely should hang out together, I think.
It sounds like it.
I hear you're the horn player in Enya.
Yeah, sure.
Sounds like you guys have a lot in common.
Sick.
Wow. I heard you live under the sea.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm a window.
That must be cool.
I'm a window? What does that even mean?
It's a window. Right, don't you understand?
But he's not a
that?
Window.
If there's a hole in the wall that's made of glass,
right.
That is I.
That's not
very
you.
Simple to understand.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Of course it does.
All right.
That's right. Steven Seagal.
All right, you guys. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:41. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Looking ahead toward tomorrow, by the way, not only will Adam Carolla be here, but I want to make sure you know this because we get a lot of requests every single year to let you know when Santa Carl is going to be on for the kiddies. So if you've got a little boy or girl, tomorrow is going to be the day that he can talk to Santa Carl right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. It's an answering machine that we have set up just for you so you can leave messages that we can then play back on the air.
I'm telling you again, we need some context.
We do a lot of different things, and without context, we're not exactly sure why you're calling.
Dean, right. I hope you get AIDS.
Whoa. Now, why?
Just out of the blue.
I mean, that might be valid. But I'm saying we don't know because there's no context.
Shut up, Bean.
What? Huh?
All right, that was the next one. Hang on 1 second. Machine trouble. All right, here's another one for Bean, and again, not exactly sure why.
Bean, shut up, Bean. Bean, can't you just shut up?
So you're saying you want to know what happened that made him call and leave that message?
Could have been 100 things in the last week.
I can think of 5 just from yesterday.
Right. Hey, so hey, I can hear you.
We could use a little of that. That's all.
Precious. That bitch fat.
Well, yeah.
He's got a point.
We talked to Zoe Saldana about
Avatar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she gave us a suggestion, and this guy would like some more clarification.
All right, that Zoe Saldana chick needs to learn how to sell a movie to guys, right? When you tell a guy to bring tissues to a movie, the tissue better be going in his pants.
Hey, especially when you're talking to Zoe Saldana, who's so hot. When she talked about bringing a tissue, all I can think about is what she might be doing in this movie. And I suspect you're right. I'm going to be disappointed now.
I've not seen this yet, but the movie Brothers looks good.
Yes, it does.
This guy, though, has a warning for those of us that haven't gone to see it.
Hey, I want to give you guys a little bit of a warning about that movie Brothers. Before everybody rushes out to see it and gets all excited, there's not a single black dude in the whole friggin' movie, okay? It is a completely bogus title.
Good to know. No kidding.
That is good to know, right? Because you go and you would expect that.
That's shameful that they could get away with advertising it in a misleading fashion like that.
One of our favorite new shows, Steven Seagal Law, man.
Just talk to Steven. He invented the cookie.
He talks like this. He's referring to the projects, the bad part of town, and he calls them the Jecks.
Really?
Does that tell you everything you need to know about Steven Seagal?
These are the Jecks. You know, these are the projects.
Rider up the line, passes to Seagal. He shoots, he scores! These are the Jecks! The Projects!
What a jackass.
Our favorite new song, Pregnant, R. Kelly. Maybe one of the best songs ever.
Girl, you make me wanna get you pregnant. You are pregnant.
And that's what the six calls about.
He finds the crease. He shoots. He scores! Girl, you make me wanna get you pregnant. Knock you up. Hi, Callie.
Yeah, Callie.
Oh, Callie. Come on.
Okay, so I'm sitting with my girlfriend listening to you guys on the radio, and we're listening to the R. Kelly song, and I'm busting because of the ridiculousness of the girl on to get you pregnant aspect of it all, but I see that my girlfriend is not having such a good time, so I ask her, what's the matter? And guess what she says? I'm going to be a father soon. Yeah, that happened.
Wait a minute.
Do you believe him?
No. Really?
I don't. I mean, but he certainly sounded convincing. I mean, very well could.
Yep. He's laughing about the song, and then she says, speaking of pregnancy, honey?
Yeah.
That's how it went? Wow.
It could happen.
Next time we do Kevin and Bean Ruin Your Life, he's going to call back.
I would like to choose to believe that. I know it's possible it's not true, and he's just joking. He's just making something up sensationalistic, but it's better if it's true. So I'm going to go with yes.
Okay. Because
that'll be their song now forever.
That's correct.
Girl, you make me want to give you hepatitis, STD.
Wow, Tommy Lee calling in. That's nice.
We were talking about getting a gun pointed at your head for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Just you're out someplace. You're not in a gang war or anything, just out of randomly.
Hey, Mike. Talking about having a gun pointed at you. I've got one I'd like to point at your face.
This may have been after the Psycho Mike was exposed for the ass bone thing.
Oh, that's possible.
The ass bone incident, as we're calling it now.
Oh. Mike got boned by a dog. Sadly, it's not a euphemism.
That's true.
Yeah, that did happen.
This song is for Psycho Mike.
I want to make love to you in your bum 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 bum.
That's beautiful.
Bum 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 bum.
Aw, don't you love Christmas time?
Sure.
Just beautiful.
It is Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Matt Money Smith is here.
Sounds like communism.
Yeah.
He's communism. An idiot.
Galpin. Yeah. Sling box. Yeah.
Hey. Pushed to number one for two decades in a row at Galpin these days to close out the year,
The number two. Keep America.
Nebraska. Some spot in Nebraska is nipping at their heels. You get over there and you buy yourself a Ford Focus from Bo Bachman.
Yeah. Why'd them get number one on your sling box? Because you're a sports fan. So you're listening to me.
Yeah, that thing is great.
It is, yeah.
How many other products can I push while I'm sitting here?
Yeah, no kidding. You just stepped in. All right, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and then we'll talk all things Deportes with Matt Money Smith coming after the news.
We steal all these stories for our not sports report.
I call it a not sports report. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
Today, the Golden Globe nominations were released. There are a lot of them, so I won't be doing them all here, but let's just focus on TV, and then in the next hour, I'll give you all the movie ones. How about that? Best television series drama, here are your nominations. Big Love, Dexter, House, Mad Men, and True Blood. There's five good shows right there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Almost all on cable.
That's true. Best comedy or musical, 30 Rock, Entourage, Glee, Modern Family, and The Office.
Has to be Modern Family or The Office, right? Out of those?
Glee's pretty
strong,
too.
I'm going Glee. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I know it's strong, but
I think Glee is sort of the critical darling of the new season. Although Modern Family is a very, very funny
very
show.
Good. Mm-hmm.
Best performance by an actor in a drama, Simon Baker, The Mentalist. Michael C. Hall for Dexter. John Hamm for Mad Men. Hugh Laurie for House. Bill Paxton for Big Love.
Wow.
How do you pick?
Category.
You pick Dexter.
The guy that's not going to kill you. Or the guy that's going to kill you. Yes, you pick him.
Yeah, you pick him.
Best actress, Glenn Close for Damages. January Jones for Mad Men. Juliana Margulies, The Good Wife. Anna Paquin for True Blood. And Kira Sedgwick for The Closer.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Supporting actor. No, I'm sorry. That was best actors in a drama. Best actor in a comedy. Alec Baldwin for 30 Rock. Steve Carell. Dave Duchovny. Thomas Jane for Hung. And Matthew Morrison for Glee. And best actress, comedy or musical. Toni Collette for United States of Tara, which is a horrible show, by the way. I don't understand why anyone watches it.
And she wins awards.
Courtney Cox for Cougar Town. Wow. They were short on the women on this list, weren't they? Edie Falco for Nurse Jackie, Tina Fey for 30 Rock, and Lea Michele for Glee. So those are your bigger nominations in TV. Next hour, we'll talk about the movie nominations. How about that for a deal?
Done.
Let's talk about Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan.
You know, she is trying to get the world to take her seriously once again. She has gone to India to film a BBC documentary on child trafficking.
Oh, what's going on with this girl?
Children shouldn't be in traffic, by the way. I've always held
that
belief.
Yes.
So I think child trafficking is not a good combination. They should keep them on the sidewalk.
Different definition of the word traffic, actually.
Before they cross the street, especially in India, because you could be hit by a cow as easily as a car.
It's not.
I can't believe you don't shut up.
So she's over there in India, and she tweets the following. Over 40 children saved so far within one day's work. This is what life is about. Doing this is a life worth living. Here's the only problem. When the raids on the workshops where they had the child labor going on, when they occurred, Lindsay was not yet in the country of India.
Still on the way there?
On the way there.
It was a threat of her arriving.
So that's what...
We better get these kids out of here before Lindsay Lohan shows up.
A leading social activist, and lawyer in India said she was not even in the country when this raid happened. We will be complaining to the BBC and talking to our lawyers. Would Lindsay Lohan even know where these workshops are?
These girls, man, they're getting on my neck.
Yeah.
No is the answer.
Lindsay later tweeted, focusing on celebrities and lies is so disconcerting. When we could be changing the world one child at a time. Hope everyone can see that.
Dear God, tell her to shut up.
To which Ruchira Gupta, an anti-trafficking campaigner, said, if celebrities do it to get publicity, then they are trivializing child trafficking. So,
yeah.
But that's not what Lindsay's doing.
No, she's there to save children. Yeah. Money, you callous, cynical bastard.
Did you see her naked pictures as the Kate Moss thing?
Yeah.
How about that, huh?
Yeah.
And the video, too.
Look at Lindsay, she's got a dot on her head now. Now she has a dot on her head, she's ready to save the children.
These girls,
my
man,
wiener's going getting crazy on my and neck. It won't stop.
I'll play something too.
She looked hot in those pictures, but doesn't she look like she stinks?
Yeah.
Like she's in India, everybody stinks. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It'll smell like curry or something.
She does look hot.
It's not curry I was thinking of.
Oh, giggity. Today's celebrity birthdays. Adam Brody from The OC is 30 years old today. I like Adam Brody. I wish he worked more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was good in that Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Remember that?
I remember the movie. I don't remember him.
He was good in that.
Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie.
Uh-huh.
Was that a successful movie or did that flop?
Yeah. Wildly successful.
Very much so. And then they adopted Adam Brody after the shooting. Too.
Is that true? Huh?
He's actually one of their kids now. Yeah.
And then they found out he was white and they kicked him back to the curb.
Stuart Townsend.
That's a tasty lick you
Thank
got there.
Thank you so much. Stuart Townsend, significant other of my true love, Charlize Theron, is 37 years old today.
Yes, I'll give her a plug.
I have to...
yes, he would.
I've come to an understanding with Charlize, and I will allow her to have Stuart in her life.
Well, that's nice.
Well, what do you get?
Well, I get...
Adam Brody?
I get the rest of her time, where she's not with him.
That's great.
Which is none.
It's big of you.
Of that time. And Don Johnson. Heartbeat!
Yeah.
We gotta get heartbeat. We gotta get a little snippet of heartbeat.
Don't have to.
One of the
for a heartbeat.
One of the greatest celebrity songs ever.
Yeah, it was bad.
It's a top 10 single.
Was it? Yeah, probably.
It was.
Oh,
it was.
So bad.
I can confirm.
So bad.
He is 60 years old today. He, of course, was...
That dude?
Rico Tubbs. No, he was the
No,
other
he
one.
Was not Tubbs. He was Sonny Crockett.
Sonny Crockett
on Miami
Oh,
Vice
like you didn't have
ago.
A pastel t-shirt back
I
in the
didn't.
Day.
I wasn't,
oh, come
I,
on.
I didn't rock the Miami Vice look.
Oh, you were a Tubbs guy? You were wearing a corduroy jacket with elbow patches?
I think I was still dressing like Dan Tanna from Vegas back then. I think I had like a faux leather vest and a tweed jacket and
I was
cowboy
looking like
boots
Columbo.
And jeans.
There were.
I was driving a Peugeot and a rumpled raincoat.
I had a parrot that rolled around with me.
I was on my Kojak. Phase. I shaved my head and was sucking a lollipop.
And I talked like this.
Who loves you, baby? Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Yeah.
I'm good.
I'm Rob
you
Garman.
Know we're still on the air, right?
I'm Rob Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Money!
Oh, because I like to chug.
Money!
Big black ones.
Money!
Big balls, too. I like to put them in my...
And money!
Money,
you want to say goodbye to him?
Thank you so much for everything, Coach. I really appreciate it. You've given me a wonderful life.
He's gone.
Darn.
Okay. He hung up.
That's so funny.
He didn't hang up on me. He hung up on you guys. You ruined my moment.
Hey, he got his plug in.
I really wanted you to have that moment with him.
Which makes it even better.
The money's here.
Check it. Yeah.
Ah, yes, money.
Check this out. I'm not a real big fan of Paul Sunderland. Dude who took over the impossible job of replacing legend Chuck Hearn. Something, by the way, I'm very familiar
you know,
with.
I was a big fan of Chuck Hearn myself.
I really said Chuck?
You said Chuck.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to kick my own ass after this.
No, Chuck
for that
was
one.
Good. I'm a big
guy's
fan of
Chuck.
Guy's
been dead a year, man. You already forgot his name.
Money. That was 110.
I'm getting there. Check it. Yeah.
Big black ones.
Oh,
yeah.
Did we have a burping decibel competition?
Yes.
Is that what that was?
Yes.
We did. Money was really impressed with the level, well, the sound level.
I'd like to point out, I was impressed with the enthusiasm displayed by one Lightning at the decibel level. I mean, that's what really got me going in that moment. It's me burping and him going, oh, yeah! Yeah.
He brought in like a measuring device or something. Yeah, he was like, oh,
decibels.
Come on. And it turned into the most important thing in the world.
Oh, my God, I can't believe how high that one was.
For that minute.
Chugging Dr. Pepper at 6 in the morning.
Matt Money Smith and his lover, Petros Papadakis, do a nationally syndicated sports radio show. And I'm telling you what, you will get a headache after 10 minutes of listening to that program. I don't know why you guys aren't both deaf. Well, seriously, it's a fascinating and entertaining show, but man, is there a lot of yelling going on.
Yeah, it kind of happens, you know. You get a little excited in the afternoon. You're fading a little bit, and you just got to, you know, kick yourself in the butt and get going. Get on that horse and start riding it.
I got to tell you,
like flick a two. Coming out this holiday season.
Two.
I got to tell you, my mom was over a couple of weeks ago. And,
oh, yeah?
And you were doing the pregame for the Lakers on Fox Sports, was it?
Oh, yeah. When I was doing the cornet thing.
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, right?
And I said, hey, mom, I know that guy. And she goes, the guy with the hair? And I said,
the guy with the hair.
It was all like messed up. Oh,
yeah.
There was a gel in it, and it looked like a mess.
I have no gel.
That's how she referred to you, the guy with the hair.
The guy with the hair.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm trying to figure out what to do. My problem is I always entrust my hair to whoever it is that's cutting it.
Right, don't do that.
And I just say, hey, whatever you think. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what to do.
Afro.
I can't go in with a I'd like it dyed bleach blonde, and
Afro.
I need a, you know, two on the side and a three on the top.
Ask Bean what he did with his hair recently.
What'd you do, Bean?
What, when? Last time you were
Stop
asking?
Looking at internet porn. Right I'm now. Talking about my hair.
Right now.
What'd you do to your hair last?
Well, technically, Mrs. Bean dyed it blue for this past weekend's Acoustic Christmas concerts. Yes,
maybe
I have blue hair right now.
Holy crap.
Maybe you should think of
that.
Now,
when you're walking, when you go to the post office there in Seattle, do they yank their kids across to the other side of the street when you come walking?
I haven't been anywhere yet because I just got home from the weekend last night. So today it'll be unveiled to the world here, and we'll see how freaky.
It's not
they
bright
think it
enough.
Is,
I mean, it's pretty dark blue.
They've got pretty high standards
in the Pacific Northwest. I think they're going to kick them out.
Really?
I think they're going to kick them out. They have to move to Idaho. You have to go a little bit east.
Hey, we don't have a sports guy, which is why we always look forward to Matt's visit. I have to ask you about this. I just thought, I mean, I know it's dumb, but I thought it was funny. Are the Kardashians good luck charms for the Lakers and the Saints? The Lakers are 18-4, hold the second best record in the NBA. The Saints are undefeated this season, going 13-0. What do these teams have in common? The Kardashian sisters. Remember back at the beginning of the season when people thought somehow that getting Khloe into the fold of the Laker wives was going to be
a bad
thing? Yeah, it was going to be sabotage. Remember they were all worried that she somehow was going to disrupt
Staples Center because of, you know, coming in with her entourage and everything like that.
They have tried.
So far, no impact.
They have tried. They have tried, yeah. They voiced their displeasure at the seats where they were placed.
Right.
They said that they were under the impression they'd be sitting courtside.
Right.
To which the Lakers got quite the chuckle out of $5,000 worth of tickets because you're married to the sixth man. No, that's not how it works. You're,
right.
You're going to sit right there, right behind Vanessa Bryant, as a matter of fact. So they didn't quite get the concept of the wives section there. Thankfully, though, she's no longer in the girlfriend or the mistress section, I should say, which I think is kind of by
those two.
Yeah, it's kind of by the media over there. Oh, you know, we get to kind of keep an eye on those ladies, make sure they don't get out of line. but my understanding is they've been very nice in terms of the Lakers front office folks and getting their cameras in there and trying to stay out of the way as best as possible, which typically the Kardashians don't do.
That's true. That's
like
the right
center of attention and cause an issue, which I guess I think they know the Lakers may be a little bit too big of an entity to kind of mess with.
I would hope so.
New Orleans Saints, they don't know what the hell's going on. Eh, whatever. Bring on my dang old man and Kardashians in here. You know, I'm going to get it in here. Dang old damn gum Saints, you know?
I'm guessing that the Lakers would be 18-4 and the Saints would be where they are if the Kardashian sisters were involved.
I'm going to go ahead and say you're right. I think you're right, but it could be a stretch. I mean, we'll have to get the folks at Johns Hopkins to do some sort of research study on that.
All right.
What about your Boston Celtics this year, Money? What about that?
They're good. You know, they play defense. And we saw what happened in the finals a year and a half ago when the Lakers faced, you know, what was the league's best defense and probably the best defense that the league has seen in a long while. Maybe since, like, the Rockets of the mid-90s there really, really won with defense. And
being a Laker fan, I've blocked out that whole series. The finals against Boston where we got destroyed. The only thing I remember from that series was Paul Pierce hurting himself and getting taken off in a wheelchair. And then jogging back in 30 seconds later.
Yeah, well, he actually came back during one of the timeouts and he was doing those flips with the other gymnasts, you know, where there's 30 feet in the air.
That's the only thing I remember from that series. Everything else is a blur, strangely.
A man that remembers that. I'm sorry, Bean. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask if you think Boston, Los Angeles would be the most likely scenario for playoffs this year.
I think so. I think so. I mean, the Cavs clearly, you know, got Shaquille O'Neal for the postseason to see whether or not he can be a defensive force in the middle and push people around. I think there's teams that match up pretty well with the Celtics, and Orlando is one of them, especially since they got Vince Carter. They can shoot from the outside. They have a giant dude on the inside that can't be pushed around. So I think you could see that continuing to maybe be the one team that could give Boston a problem. But, you know, I think interesting going back to that final series, I brought this up yesterday. You know, Pau Gasol over the weekend kind of got a little lippy about his touches and the fact that he's not being involved in the offense enough.
Right?
And I think that goes all the way back. I think there is still some resentment from Pau going back to that Boston series when he was kind of made out to be the scapegoat and the reason why, and the Lakers are too soft, and Pau got pushed around, and none of his teammates really stuck up for him. There weren't a lot of people that said, it's not Pau, it was all of us. They just wanted it to go away, and now that Pau was an all-star last year, it really is the reason why the Lakers are winning titles. I mean, don't get me wrong, they have the best player in the NBA in Kobe, but
right. You have to have something besides
all of
that.
This started with the acquisition of Pau Gasol. They have not lost three games in a row since his arrival, and they're winning at like an 80% clip since Pau was brought on, and the fact that this guy is shooting, you know, 58-60%. He's leading the team in rebounds. He's leading the team in assists. He averages nearly a block and a half per game. And he's like, wait a minute. I know Ron is crazy, and if he doesn't get 13 shots, he might tear the locker room apart and slash your tires. But I'm shooting 60%. He's shooting 40. How about I just take maybe four or five of those shots so I can get my thing going?
Maybe he needs to go crazy. Maybe he needs to slash some tires and go nuts.
Hey, man, the Spaniard with that wacky beard and those giant belt buckles.
Right.
You want to be careful with that guy. Sleeping giant.
He's going to have that look in his eye.
It's like the old Japan-American thing, you know, even though it never really happened. You know,
I'm thinking that Spanish crazy is a lot different than Jamaica Queens crazy. Like, there's a whole different level.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect there. You know, I don't know if he's just going to take a nap or he's going to cut out the siesta or what the hell's going to go on.
By the way, we put up a picture on our website. We'll take a break after this. Matt Money Smith is in studio with us, and we got to talk about Tiger and the new story that broke about his doctor and the drugs coming up in a minute. But we put up a picture on our website, Money, of somebody dug up photos of Laker cheerleaders from the 80s versus Laker cheerleaders today.
Oh, yeah?
It's hilarious what they looked like back then.
Oh, yeah. Just giant hair.
Such a ghetto look. Yeah, the cut-off T-shirts and stuff.
By the way, same thing with the uniform of the players. back then. True, they were ridiculous.
Oh, but, yeah. They, sometimes dudes would have things fall out, you know? you get a dude that just got it going, and you got to be careful, man. You remember they brought that back for one quick game?
Yep, they did.
Did not work well.
Bad idea.
Yeah, it did not
it
work
is,
well.
It is so funny that you just don't have the ability when you put something on that you think is going to look good forever. You put that on. You don't know what it's going to feel like 20 years later when you look back at those pictures.
You do know, though, that we think we look pretty good now. And in right. 20 years, they're going to look back at today and go, what were they thinking?
When I had my my white Genera leather loafers, I kind of knew, even though I was only like 14, I kind of knew, look, I know everyone's wearing these now, but this is not going to turn out well for me.
You should have got your ass
kicked. Will not look back fondly on these days.
Yeah. All right, Matt Money Smith is here. We will continue talking with him on the Kevin and Bean.
Rob Gerdick from the Fantasy Factory joins us later on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, unfortunately, the Armenian comedian will be stopping by.
Oh, yeah.
It could be his final appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show based on how this conversation goes today. And we'll talk to Fletcher. You heard what happened to Fletcher from Pennywise at Acoustic Christmas over the weekend. Did you money?
I did not.
The short version of the story is he stole a tram at the Universal on the lot of the Universal Studios and thought he was going to drive it back to the hotel in Hollywood. And the police ended up coming. And he had,
driving the tram, you know, he that's is. Got six cars behind it.
He's the best.
He's the best.
The best.
Security guard says, what are you doing? He says, giving a tour.
I mean, come on. What does it look like, you idiot?
So we'll talk to Fletcher, get his version of the story next hour. Plus, he'll tell you about a great concert Pennywise is doing with Suicidal Tendencies, Danzig, and more. So that's coming up next hour.
Well, right Mike's now, not though, excited about that at all.
Not a bit.
Yeah, right. Matt Money Smith is here, and I mentioned right before the break that Tiger news that doesn't involve his horn around broke this morning. What's going on with him and his doctor, and what does it all mean for the dude?
Well, he, along with a couple other pretty high-profile athletes, I think probably the second most high-profile behind him is Dana Torres, the swimmer, the 60-year-old swimmer that looks like she's 15,
right.
With the giant shoulders. Yeah, apparently both of them were visited by this guy, but they say, I guess, you know, I kind of dug into it a little bit late last night when it broke, and they say he does kind of have a legitimate, very unique way of rehabbing an injury that actually does not have to deal with HGH or any illegal performance-enhancing drug.
Okay. It's this platelet. So what did he have with him coming back from Canada then?
Well, I mean, his claim is that he uses it, that it's perfectly legal for him to use HGH, and he's used it for 10 years on himself, but he does not give it to any of his athletes, that he does this platelet spinning kind of thing to help rehab injuries, and that's how
HGH
he knows these
for
folks.
Regular people is fine. It's just not for sports, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they use it for people that, you know, have AIDS. I mean, it's used in regular medicine practice, in regular practice. But with the athletes, I think any performance enhancers, their big problem is you can't do a research study for long-term results. You can't have a human subject to see what's going to happen. So they just kind of ban things across the board. But that's his position. I'm sure it'll probably get a little bit clearer here in the next few days. I mean, look, it's funny. His agent was asked to comment. And I think the comment was something along the lines of, can't you just leave the kid alone? I mean, haven't you got your pound of flesh there, old Taman in the show? I mean, Merchant of Venice, haven't you finally got what you needed? Can you leave him alone, for God's sake?
He certainly made it way too easy for everyone, though, didn't he?
Yeah,
well,
I don't blame us.
I mean, come on.
No. You most
what
definitely can't blame
ass.
Us. The interesting thing about the thing that I found most fascinating is they showed that, I think it was a Gallup poll, as a matter of fact, highest favorable rating of any individual ever measured by the Gallup poll.
Yes.
At 88% favorable rating back, I think it was in 2000, because really, well-spoken dude.
Sure.
Good-looking guy.
Sure.
You know, breaking down racial barriers in a historically just gnarly, just stiff, white sport. And, I mean, he was beyond likable, with the exception of his, you know, the refusal to give anyone access to his true personality by the way he dealt with the media. But other than that, really was the perfectly crafted superstar.
Yeah.
And
First athlete ever to have $1 billion.
First billion-dollar athlete ever, and that's kind of where the whole debate of, you know, what is all right to kick around and what isn't, and that's kind of what our position was in talking about him. When you become a spokesman and I don't understand the Tag Heuer ads anyway, where he's got the watch around his hand. You ever notice that? It's not on his wrist on those billboards.
Yes.
It's on his hand. It really bothers me.
What are you made of?
But yeah, what are you made of? You know, and Accenture has now dropped him, and Tag Heuer is trying to figure out what to do. Gillette's pulled him off other committees. That's where the interesting part comes in. He's a billion-dollar entity as a spokesperson for these corporations.
You know, it's funny. I was watching some of the news on that, and some of them were saying, since he's taking a break from golf,
we're going to, it like had nothing to do with the scandal. It's just he's taking a break from golf, so we'll give, we'll give
still,
a break with
still that. Cashing checks from Nike and the EA and all of these other. And I guess an article that did not run that he had just, I guess an interview, I don't know who he did it with, it was Esquire, one of those fancy magazines. You know, he was talking about what family means and how it's most the most important thing in the world to him, ahead of golf, ahead of anything
That's
else.
That's why you need a lot. You need a lot of families.
Yeah, turns out. So
have you heard his record yet, Money?
I have not. Oh, the slow jam.
Yeah,
it's the big hit of the holiday season.
Best thing ever.
Yeah, it really is.
Hey, it's Tiger.
Tiger Woods, the golfer.
He's taking a huge favor. Please don't do this for me.
All right, what?
Can you take your name off your phone? My wife is on my phone, and maybe call.
We'll start rubbing up on Lisa Mae's hand.
Yeah.
Just have a nice number. Take your name.
Right, we got it.
Phone.
Your phone.
Huge.
My wife answered my phone. And maybe call.
Quickly.
Take your name. Off your phone.
Huge. Hey.
You gotta do this for me. Just have a nice number.
Disappointed that more voicemails didn't come out. I mean, we saw the text transcripts, but I want more voicemails from Tiger. I think those are awesome.
So we can have more remixes.
I think that was the nadir. I mean, he just clearly lost his mind when he left a freaking voicemail. Hey.
Yes.
And just the tone in his voice. Hey, all right. Huge. Quickly.
Yeah.
Favor.
Now,
trouble.
Didn't it even occur to him not to say Tiger? Hey. I mean, even... It could probably be tied to him or whatever, but right. He doesn't have to say Tiger. You know, Tiger Woods, the golfer.
Who it is.
Right,
I'm sure.
Exactly.
Hey,
I'm sure.
It's the first billion-dollar athlete in the history of the world. plenty of ways you can address yourself.
Bean pointed
out,
his
mind.
Bean pointed out, and he's right. Everything's better with a slow jam.
Oh, yeah.
That's just right. Makes everything better.
Yeah, no question. I think the thing that'd be best for him is that his wife leaves him, you know, and that way he can maybe become a sympathetic figure. You know, I no longer have my kids in my life. I'm punishing myself every day. I can't believe that I let this all slip away. You know, I understand she did what she had to do, but it really has affected me and I miss my kids and I'm just going to try to rebuild and see if I can keep them in my life. I think that's what he has to do. I think she stays with him and they just think he's the biggest pile of crap and he's just paying her to stay with him for the image and things like that. So, and word is that she wants to keep the family together through the holidays, and then may in fact be saying see you later.
I can't imagine that's not. Yeah, I can't imagine that's not the case. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you buy a house in Sweden on some remote island. It's only accessible by boat, so no one can bother her, and you raise your kids with your family and all that sort of stuff. That just to me seems to make the most sense. He's taking them over there and then saying goodbye.
I think Lisa pointted out that, seriously, after the 10th hoe comes out, that's when you got to cut them loose, right?
It?
You can put up with the first nine.
You can tolerate up to
the
nine.
First couple, I could see her maybe trying to work this out, but then 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
well, you understand,
9, 10, you can't stay.
There's the multiplier, you know, 10 public times 10, it actually ends up being about 100.
Right,
I think
you don't know how many
at.
Haven't spoken up yet, but when 10 or 12 do, you know. You know, it seems like there's probably a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, word is a couple ladies around town that have yet to come out. So I'm guessing that, you know, it's in
around
that 20s, 30s. Yeah, around this town here in LA. Right. It's word on the street.
All right.
I heard that chick from Precious has got something to say, too, by the way.
Yes.
That's what I heard. All right. Well, listen, we know you got to go, Matt Money Smith. You and the beautiful Petras have been very good to the Kevin and Bean Show over the past year. We always enjoy either of you guys stopping by and continued success with your show and have a great holiday and all that good junk.
Thank you, you guys, as well.
Thank you, Matt. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, maybe the final performance ever of Sam the Armenian Comedian on the Kevin and Bean Show straight ahead, which is just going to be great news. It's going to, I mean, parties are going to break out all over America if this actually comes to pass. I'm hoping we cut the boy loose today.
Well, look, he's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, we may have no choice.
We have to talk to him in about a half hour. So,
also an update from Fletcher about the weekend. What's up with Tom Cruise for Christmas? And Rob Dyrdek will join us. You can always get in touch with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Believe it or not, the addresses are posted on our website, so they are easy to find. We always enjoy hearing from you. We get a lot of great feedback from conversations that we have on the show. For instance, a few days ago, we were talking about people who got tattoos maybe that they regret, especially when you get tattoos in a group with other people and you think this is a bond that's going to live forever and then it doesn't maybe work out that way. Justin writes in, hey guys, what it do? You put on a great show. Thank you for that, Justin. Speaking of tattoos, I sure hope I feel the same way in 10 years about my Owl City tattoo as I do today. I mean, that's a perfect example. That's a great example, Justin, of what would concern me, that you hear Fireflies on the radio and you go, I love this song and I'll love it forever. I'm going to get it tattooed on my body.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much.
I'm hoping we can pass that ugly history and just move on and act like that never happened.
That'd be great.
You think that's a possibility? This one comes to me from Karen. Hey, Kevin, please ask Bean why he has a naked picture of OJ as his Twitter profile pic.
Yes, that is my new avatar. Well, because who doesn't enjoy a naked photo of OJ?
That's not the disturbing part, if I might just add to that.
You want to elaborate a little?
It's not just that he uses that for his Twitter account. He has a painting.
A photograph.
How big?
Oh, that's even better.
How big?
It's probably 11 by 14.
11 by 14. All right. In his bathroom at home. True. Of naked OJ.
Naked OJ. Yes, indeed.
He has a picture 11 by 14.
Afro, well, two big ol' afros, and a big ol' smile, and he's toweling off. And I love it so much. And let me tell you, when people come to the house, they use the guest bathroom. They always notice it. They always
well, really,
that.
What do you think they're going to do? They're just going to sit down and go, oh, yeah, naked OJ, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. How did you talk your wife
into that? Whatever that is. I just try to be a good guy.
How did you talk your wife into that? How did she not say no?
I don't know. Look, you have to figure she's damaged to be married to me for all these years. I guess she just went with it thinking that there are a lot of things that could have been so much worse. But it has now become a treasured part of our art collection.
Yeah, sure. I know.
I will tell you.
It's quite an art collection.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I was in observing court cases Friday morning, and the judge was about to make a ruling on a domestic violence restraining order case. There was a silence in the courtroom. The husband called his wife a stupid-ass bitch for all to hear. When I heard this, I yelled, oh, no, he didn't. The judge gave me the most horrible look on earth, and I wished I was invisible. Here I am trying to learn about the justice system, and all of a sudden I just became a retard. You suck, Kevin and Bean. You ruined my life, but I still love your show. Happy holidays, Wendy, from Los Angeles. That goes back to the conversation of things that seem appropriate to say on the air, maybe,
yeah,
or in conversation with us. But then you get out there in the non-Kevin and Bean real world, and all of a sudden you're the freak.
Yeah. Dear Kevin and Bean, what happened to the Chuck Henry crying about fire clip that used to be on your website?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I haven't checked that it's still on. We relaunched our website, a whole new website. And basically, you can just search for anything you want. So you could search for Chuck Henry fire, mm-hmm, and if it's anywhere on the site, it'll come up. That's the way the site is built.
Okay.
Yeah, it is great. And Dave tells me that one of the projects over Christmas break is they are going to be adding a whole bunch more sound to the site. So there may be some stuff that you've been looking for that hasn't gotten up there yet, but they are going to continue to expand that file.
Those of you that don't know what we're talking about, it was a huge fire in Southern California, and the fire department told all of the news crews to leave, get out of the way, move your vans.
Right.
One guy didn't. One guy for Channel 4 NBC left the van right in the line of fire, and it burned up. It burned to the ground.
I feel so badly for the people lost their possessions.
This is him.
You know, the truck, who cares? Stupid truck with a bunch of equipment in it. I was inside the truck. I tried to get it start. Wouldn't start. I jumped out of the driver's seat, and all there was flames.
Right.
I saw Lee. Mm. He was outside. And I couldn't see where to go. He just said, hey, Chuck, and he's calling at me. It was a fireman. And I just ran in his direction. He grabbed me, and he literally threw us in the back of his truck. Yeah. Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
And by the way, like $150,000 worth, yeah, of television news equipment burned up in that truck. The fireman, please understand Kevin's explanation of the story, okay? The fireman came and said, hey, fire's coming down the road. Everybody evacuate. All the cars left except for the news guy who, mm-hmm, was covering it, and then, yeah, it got completely burned up. And then he barely escaped with his life, for God's sakes. It was fantastic.
That is my
all right,
thing.
Email any of us. All the addresses are at kevinandbean.com. A quick break. The Golden Globe nominations came out this morning. Let's see if your favorite movie got the nod. Ralph's got that, and all the Showbiz Beat coming up next right here on the Kevin and Bean. Ralph Garman is here with yet another look at the Showbiz Beat, this time for a Tuesday. What's going on, Ralph?
Golden Globe nominations. Golden Globe nominations were announced this morning. And the Golden Globes, for those who don't know, it's the awards given out by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. These are the 170 or so foreign correspondents who cover entertainment news here in the States. And they choose what they believe are their favorite TV and movie.
programs from the year, and they give them awards.
It's considered prestigious, right?
It is, yes.
But isn't this one of those things where you have to kind of wine and dine them? You have to kind of go, hey, we're in this movie and take you out to dinner. And
legendarily, there is influencing that goes on amongst this crowd that if the studios treat them in a certain way, they tend to get some preferential treatments. That has been the story.
And if they don't, they don't. Yeah.
They like anyone else, to be appreciated and coddled and wined and dined. Yeah, so there have been stories of that kind of thing.
It has been cleaned up a lot in recent years, and I think you're right, Ralph, that the award is much more prestigious now than it was 20 years ago. It now seems to be pretty critically sound.
Here's the list of movies. We did TV shows last hour. Here are the lists for Best Picture Drama: Avatar, The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Basterds, Precious, and Up in the Air, nominated for Best Motion Picture Drama, for Best Motion Picture Musical or Comedy: 500 Days of Summer, The Hangover, It's Complicated, Julie and Julia, and Nine. A few of those films haven't even been released yet, but Nine's got a lot of buzz.
If Julie and Julia beats The Hangover,
you loved it.
I will move out of this country.
I never saw that 500 Days of Summer, but apparently it was quite good.
I have a clip. You want to hear
it? It was very good. Sure.
500 Days of Summer?
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so. Yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude. All right? I'm going to send you to go make a.
All right, listen. I just want to give you a taste of 500 Days of Summer.
Kevin, you may be missing the point that it's the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. It won't do you any good to move out of the country. The problem is coming from out of the country. You need to stay in the country if it wins.
Okay. Sorry, I don't know how to protest. Okay, back to you.
You have to go under the country.
Under the country.
Yes.
Okay.
Best actor in a drama: Jeff Bridges for Crazy Heart, George Clooney for Up in the Air, Colin Firth, A Single Man, Morgan Freeman, Invictus, and Tobey Maguire for Brothers. Best actress in a drama: Emily Blunt for The Young Victoria, Sandra Bullock, Blindside, Helen Mirren, The Last Station, Carey Mulligan, An Education, Gabby Sidibe.
Don't know.
She's precious. She's got the fat forehead. Best actor in musical or comedy: Matt Damon, The Informant.
Really?
Daniel Day-Lewis for Nine, Robert Downey Jr. for Sherlock Holmes, yet another movie that no one has seen.
Yeah.
But apparently the foreign press has. Joseph Gordon-Levitt for 500 Days of Summer, and Michael Stuhlbarg for A Serious Man. He was great in that. Best actress, musical comedy: Sandra Bullock, The Proposal. Oh, she's a wacky Canadian who needs to get married. Marion Cotillard.
Yes.
From Nine. Julia Roberts for Duplicity. Meryl Streep for It's Complicated. And also Meryl Streep for Julie and Julia. So, there you go for some of your nominations for the Golden Globe Awards. Jennifer Garner has a stalker who is creepy.
Uh-oh.
She had a restraining order against this guy back in 2008. She convinced the judge that he was endangering her family. Now he was picked up yesterday creeping around the Santa Monica nursery school that's attended by her daughter, Violet Affleck.
Oh no.
Yeah, this guy was picked up around 9 a.m.
after officers
spotted him loitering in an alley nearby. And thank God they were there to pick him up, because who knows what could have happened. But wow. He was arrested for violating the restraining order, and rightly so. But this guy is bad news.
Yeah.
He's got a web page, a blog, I guess it is, called Satanic Panic.
Yes.
Yeah. And he writes, are multitudes of adults resorting to human sacrifices and then repressing this information from fear of Christ? So
he's got a point.
Yeah, sure.
What's the answer to that?
What is the question? I'd like to know. I don't even understand the question. But anyway, this guy's got a screw loose, and now he's been following Jennifer Garner all over the country, by the way, for years.
Wow.
Saying they're meant to be together, and God is going to befall her with something that may kill her, and he's there to protect her, and all kinds of weirdness.
My gosh.
And now he's been spotted around the kid too. So
there's a downside to fame, you guys.
There sure is.
A big one.
First, you have to marry Ben Affleck, and then marry a crazy guy following you.
Now, Dr. Drew put an implant in this guy's leg, right? I mean,
sure.
that's why he's crazy, right?
That's right. Burns like a bitch, but at least we know where he is.
That's what I hear.
Congratulations to Kourtney Kardashian. She had her baby yesterday. He's a little boy named Mason Dash Disick.
He's black.
Nope.
He's not black at all, actually. But congratulations, Mason Dash Disick. Mason Disick?
His dad's a dick.
Disick. Not Dick. Disick. And John Frusciante has quit the Red Hot Chili Peppers again. He's left a few times. One time he was replaced by Josh Klinghoffer, who was a touring guitarist for the Chili Peppers, and apparently he will be once again.
He's a genius guitarist.
He's great, but he's had a lot of problems with substance abuse. Yeah. Is that the case this time, or is it musical differences now?
Says he wants to go off and concentrate on his solo career, which now includes 10 albums, by the way.
Huh. Yeah, he puts them out pretty fast.
John first quit the Chili Peppers in 1992, was replaced by Arik Marshall, and then he was also...
replaced by Dave Navarro at one point.
Dave Navarro, yeah. Right. And once he left the band when he forgot he was in the Red Hot Chili Peppers, they said. And he
is that right?
Yeah, he was just wandering around.
Who knew?
Yeah. That's sad. When asked for a comment, John Frusciante simply answered, "Ice cream is cold!"
I look forward to more solo records now.
Yeah. So, not sure what that has to do with anything.
Don't do drugs is the message.
Today's celebrity birthday is Adam Brody from The O.C. Remember The O.C.?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Sure.
Oh. Dave the King of Mexico loved The O.C. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, it's the best.
Oh, it's the best. Love it. I love it.
And he's tired.
He's asleep.
He's 30 years old. Stuart Townsend, actor and luckiest bastard on the face of this planet we call Earth. He is, for all intents and purposes, married to Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Congratulations, speed bump. You're 37 years old today. And actor Don Johnson.
Yeah!
Not only was he on Miami Vice... Not only was he Nash Bridges, but he had a smash hit song that still rocks to this very day called Heartbeat.
I mean, you say still rocks.
What do you mean by that?
Thinks he did it.
Shake his fist like that?
Shake your fist.
Yeah.
Oh, it rocks.
Yeah, that was
wasn't bad. That song awful the day it came out, and
no,
it's even worse now, Ralph?
Correct.
Seriously,
correct.
Seriously, that's a terrible song.
And it gets better with age.
And by better, you
not
mean...
Not beyond perfection.
You mean worse.
It's almost too good to listen to. Turns your ears to gold if you hear it.
If I'll agree with you.
A small clip, because if we didn't, your ears would become solid gold.
I will agree with you that it's too good to listen to if that means we don't have to listen to it anymore.
Oh, we're listening.
Come on, shake your fist. I'm looking for a
more. If you want your ears to turn to gold, you run the risk. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 12 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I can dig it.
Hey, I know this weekend very successful, the Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009. We got video, audio, pictures, all sorts of good stuff on the website. But where was Sam, Kevin? I thought Sam was supposed to open the show, the Armenian comedian. What happened there?
Hey, Sam.
Good morning.
Where were you, dude?
Yeah, Sam.
Where was I?
You really, really left us hanging. I mean, we had your time set. We had the second band that was ready to go on at that time, and then we had to go back to them and go, dude, Sam's not here. You got to come out now. You got to come out now. And then we had to move everybody up, and it was a nightmare.
Well, Lightning didn't call me.
What?
Lightning didn't call me.
So did you call him and say, hey, guys, I'm supposed to be opening the show. What's happening?
Yes, I did. I did call him constantly. He says there's a problem. It's not your fault, Sam. There's a problem with the timing, with booking and everything. There's no room for you. So
Only problem I know is Kevin and Bean standing backstage with our thumb in our butts because we got an angry, restless crowd out there waiting for some entertainment, and you weren't there.
I was upset because this is the chance that I want to see the listeners to see me, and I want to
us too.
See the listeners.
Well, you could,
and you screwed up with the timing. I don't know.
Huh. Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
It is something that it was supposed to be done, but it didn't happen.
Okay, let me ask.
What can I say?
Let me ask you a different question. Did you call the radio station?
All the time.
Okay.
I ask everybody. You
right.
Can ask them.
We have some new phone ops that we have just hired who just began. So you called one of them and you asked for me, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then did you say F you to the phone screener?
I didn't say screw you. I said I'm so upset and you are messing with my life. What is happening? Let me know.
Did you say that you are in the Armenian Mafia and you don't want to anger the Armenian Mafia?
Yes.
You did say that.
I can blow up the whole place.
Did you say that just answered my next question?
You guys are lucky that I didn't mention to my connections. They can blow the place up in a second.
All right, now let's talk about this. Let's break this down for a second.
Set up bombs around your station right now.
Oh, Sam, you don't want to say that. That's the wrong thing. You understand? Now the FBI has to come visit you. You understand that, right?
The FBI!
What?
I don't care about me. I just care that you guys are so miserable against what is happening. You just do miserable lives to anybody you have a guest on.
Okay.
Including me.
Okay, here's
what's
the thing.
Happening here? Well, I thought we were friends.
Here's the thing, Sam. There's a huge difference between, hey, there's a mix-up, or even, hey, you screwed us over, and I know mafia people and we'll blow up the station. Because once you start making threats like that, it has to be taken seriously by the authorities.
Because I'm very upset.
Right. A lot of people get upset. You can't say things like we're going to blow up the station.
Hey, when I'm upset, I don't know what comes out of me either.
Armenian comedian, when the police show up to see you today, what are you going to say when they ask you if you have plans to blow up the radio station?
I'm going to say, fine, I'm going to go right ahead and do it. And arrest me and take me to jail. That's what I'm going to say.
Best All case right. scenario, by the way.
I mean, I'm not joking when I say this tape is Exhibit A, right?
Record all you want.
Okay, because I want it noted for the record that I gave you the opportunity to say, no, Bean, I was just hot-headed because of the mix-up, and I don't really mean it. But you're sticking with your story that your plan is to intentionally hurt us.
Because you hurt me.
Okay.
In just the same way, right, as blowing up your place of employment.
You blow up my career. All the listeners are listening right now, this second.
You can
all
do that yourself.
All the listeners hate you guys.
That's true, first of all.
My fans are hating you guys.
Right. But
all the people are driving in the freeway
let's get back.
Are hating you.
That could be, but let's get back to you. And do you... You said not only you're going to blow up the station, but you have bombs all around the station already.
Yeah, it's tick-tock, tick-tock.
By the way, in Sam's fantasy world, people only listen to the Kevin and Bean Show in hopes that one day he'll be on.
Okay, you know what? Why don't you do me a favor? Just give me my own breakfast and we're all even. How's that?
I don't think we're responsible for your career, Sam. I think that's up to you.
We are responsible for his career. He wouldn't have a career if it weren't for us, by the way.
So you're saying if we give you a breakfast, you won't blow up the station. Otherwise, station blown up.
Yeah. Listen, also, you had a psychic many years ago. I was at the Burbank, when you
Studios.
Were guys in Burbank. You had a psychic there. You made him so much, man. He is not ever going to be in your program anymore.
Okay,
and you know what?
That's a good point.
That guy, I'm his fan.
Right.
Because he tells everything the truth.
Right.
He told everything about me the truth.
Right, but do you know what he didn't do? Didn't threaten to blow up any buildings. So we're gonna give you one last chance just to say, I was really mad, I was out of my mind, I didn't mean it.
I'm sorry I didn't mean it, but I'm so upset, you know?
Close.
Sam, I think you didn't get enough pot this morning. Usually you're mellower and funny, and today you're just angry and scary.
Because I didn't have my joint.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's the difference.
I think that was Bean's point.
All right, listen, Sam, just so you know.
Bean, can I interrupt you?
Yes,
please
do.
I have this guy, my partner. We are the best yodelists.
Best.
But why don't I come over before the holiday?
All right, listen.
My birthday is Christmas Eve.
Okay, let me answer that question. You threatened to blow up the station. So,
no.
Yeah, you did.
I was just joking.
Right. So F yourself on that. So no.
What?
You heard me.
Okay.
Don't call our phone ops and tell them that, dude. I mean, we can only vouch for you for so far, and then the phone ops start getting calls like that, and then they have to, you know, report it to the authorities, and they have to report it to the bosses here, and then they come to us and they go, "What are you doing with this guy?"
Right,
and then we get in trouble because you're an a-hole.
Because I had to push some kind of a button to get your attention.
Yeah, well, those might not be the right buttons to push.
I don't know, Sam. We could be done with you after all these years together. This could be the end of the line, my friend.
Are you sure?
pretty. Yeah. You know, it's kind of coming down from above because they don't really like people yelling at our phone ops like that and making those threats.
Okay.
And then they say, you know, we have to take this seriously. What are you guys going to do? And then we say, we'll take it seriously, too.
Uh-huh.
So.
All right. Well, you could be spending your birthday in jail this year.
Oh. Can I tell a joke before you go?
No, come on, Sam. One last joke before the authorities.
How come Rudolph Reindeer has a red nose? Because he steals Santa's stash.
That's
you're a lot of trouble, but you're worth it with the comedy.
And then he doesn't.
All right, you can't go on now. It's already over. You can't continue.
By the way, was that joke, was that the bomb that he was talking about dropping out of a radio station? We got tickets for you to go see Pennywise in about 10 minutes or so, part of a big charity show with lots of other great bands. We'll be talking to Fletcher from the band, and he'll give us his side of the story about how he almost ended up arrested at our Almost Acoustic Christmas concert this Saturday night when he allegedly stole a tram and allegedly planned on driving it to the hotel in Hollywood. So we'll hear from our man Fletcher coming up in just a few minutes. That's always a good time. Right now, though, got a Christmas shopping tip for you, right?
The Scientology Holiday Catalog.
Oh, yes. How about that? Last minute gift you can't find.
You can order from Scientology. Excellent. How great is that?
You can change their lives forever.
I didn't know that they had their own line of gifts that you could buy just for Scientologists. But, I mean, I guess it makes sense. There are such things as, you know, religious calendars where you can buy books and crosses and clothing and that sort of inspirational gifts, things like that. So why not?
And that's why we decided we needed to talk to Mr. Cruz himself. Good morning, Tom.
I love women.
Right.
Merry Christmas. How are you?
Well, Merry Christmas to you, Tom. Scientology Holiday Catalog is out, huh? What's this all about?
This is an opportunity for Scientologists to buy gifts to give their loved ones at Christmas time.
Like candy.
To let them know that they're remembered and in keeping with the spirit and tenets of our religion.
Like candy and toys and stuff?
No, they're more Scientology-based gifts for Scientologists who want to celebrate the holidays with other Scientologists and give them something with some spiritual significance.
I see.
So what, another copy of a paperback of the Dianetics? Yes, Tom. Right here.
Tom, he's saying yes.
Yes, go ahead, Tom.
Don't be glib.
I apologize. Well, what kinds of things are you talking about then?
Well, for $999, you get a collectible replica of the H-bomb that Xenu used to throw into the volcano to kill all the Thetans.
Is that right?
Yes. But we've taken the H out of it, so it's just a bomb.
Okay.
Well, it's not really just a bomb. It's actually just a DVD of Vanilla Sky.
Oh, that has to hurt you personally.
It actually qualifies.
Which does equal a bomb. That's right. That's true.
Don't be glib.
Self-deprecating. I like that.
For $25,000, you get some space in a tanker in Long Beach where you can take people and chain them up and convince them to stay in Scientology.
Well, that doesn't sound very holiday-ish.
For $50,000, the chains are made of 14-karat gold.
Okay. But maybe there's a problem with Scientology if you have to chain people up and force them to join. What? It should be voluntary. Yes. Yes, Tom. Yes. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead, Tom. Yes, Tom.
Tom. What?
Okay, noted. What?
Don't be glib.
All right. Hey, there are special gifts for people who are clear, which is a certain level of Scientology?
Yes. You get a clear bracelet.
Okay.
Which says that you're clear.
Right.
For $325. A diamond clear bracelet is at $19,000.
Wow.
And a bracelet that's so clear, it's actually invisible. We just wrap it around your wrist.
Right.
You can't even see it.
Uh-huh.
That's $1,000,000.
$1,000,000.
Yeah.
And you can't see it.
If no one can see it, then
how clear it is. It's really clear.
Right.
But how do we know you're actually selling us anything, or you could just be taking $1,000,000 and telling us it's a bracelet?
Faith.
Faith.
Got to have faith.
Yeah.
Jink, jink, jink. For $17,000, you can have a walk-on role on Jenna Elfman's Accidentally on Purpose sitcom.
Is that right?
I would bid on that quickly if you were interested.
Okay.
Hurry up.
All right.
No saying how much longer they're going to be filming that show.
Okay.
Right.
It may not be lasting much longer.
That will be on that too much.
It may not be on for a lot of seasons.
So if you want to be on
a
lot of money.
Not a show that may be going on and on and on.
Right.
For $48,000, Jason Lee will come to your house and read you Dianetics while you sit on the pooper.
Do you have to sit on the pooper?
No, you can sit anywhere you want.
Okay, good.
He will read the entire book of Dianetics to you page by page.
Wow.
It's like a book on tape, only it's really Jason Lee in person at your house.
How about that?
After Chipmunks and Underdog, he will do anything, apparently. Happy holidays.
You too.
Kevin, who's your hero? Who's the best man in the world?
Fletcher.
Fletcher from Pennywise. He joins us on the Kevin Abed Show after the weekend that was. Fletcher, how are you, man?
I'm here.
You are the best, first of all. Second of all, you're the best.
The reason Fletcher's on the phone, and let's not lose sight of the Affliction Christmas concert, which is coming up this Saturday at the Long Beach Arena. It is sold out. Proceeds benefiting Amnesty International. Great lineup this time around, Fletcher. You and the band, Danzig Suicidal Tendencies, TSOL. Why are you guys doing the show for Amnesty International? Anything specific going on that caught your attention?
It's for a good cause. Obviously, the lineup is one of the craziest lineups that's come through LA in a while, and it was a $5 ticket, and we're buddies with the owners of Affliction, your favorite clothing company.
They are our favorite. That is true. Hey, if they'll put on shows like this, then I'm not going to give them any heat. We're going to give away some tickets right now. I think we have two pairs of tickets. If this sounds like a lineup that'll rock you on Saturday, call now 1-800-520-1067. Speaking of concerts, we saw you briefly Saturday night. You have a good time at the show?
Yes, I had a pretty good time at the show.
Fletcher shows up, and I see him, and I'm like, now it's a party. And he just says, yes, it is.
It is. I mean, you know how it is. I got an agreement with the bartender back there. When I just walk up, I just hold up how many fingers I want in drinks, and they're always doubles, and I just bypass the line, and he just sets more to the side. So it works out pretty good for me, usually.
For people who haven't seen you, it must take a giant amount of alcohol to get a guy your size drunk.
I think it takes a couple.
Yeah.
But Fletcher is willing to put in the time. That's what's great about him. He doesn't let that stand in the way of him getting it right.
He's dedicated.
That's right.
So the first thing that we see is that you head down to the pit, and AFI does a shout-out to you from the stage. I saw that. You were down there just enjoying the music. I mean, that's why you went down to the pit, right?
We're going to talk about that, yeah.
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about everything.
Uh-huh.
So then the security threw you out, right?
They tried to.
Right.
It didn't work out too well for them.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do our best to... We've
keep you out of jail?
No, not at all. We've talked to a lot of people, and we've come up with a lot of stories, but we're not sure what's true, so we just like you to just guide us in the right direction.
Okay,
so they tried to throw you out of the pit, but then you willingly leave because they couldn't have.
No, I didn't leave. I think the AFI broke into Kill Caustic, which was one of my favorite songs. It is one of my favorite songs, and we just started like a mosh pit with like five security guards in it, and they willingly left to the outskirts of the pit for the remainder of the show.
Were the security trying to be in the mosh pit, or were they trying to move you?
They tried to remove me.
Yeah.
They said that I needed to come with them, that they needed to have a talk with me because I forced my way down there because I
didn't have
the proper credentials.
Yeah, right. If I'm a security guard and they say, you guys got to go get Fletcher out, I go, no.
No. Well, he's bigger than any of them. Right. Yeah. So at some point you willingly leave or did you stay till the very end of the AFI set?
No, I got thirsty, so I had to head back to the bar.
Excellent.
Yeah, because it had been 10 minutes, right? Okay, so then you head back to the bar, and then how did you end up outside, Fletcher, and you hatched your evil plan on how you were going to get back into Hollywood?
Oh, I don't remember exactly. I mean, might have been a little inebriated at that point. I think we got thrown out, yeah, but I think security eventually threw us out of the backstage room, and then...
Okay.
I was kind of looking for a ride back to the Renaissance.
Right, and a lot of people were staying at the Renaissance, and they had some trams going back and forth, but there wasn't one right when you were out there, but you saw a different tram.
Yeah, I think they have more like shuttles going back.
Shuttles, yes, that's the wrong word, shuttle.
Yeah.
Well, tram is what you saw.
Tram, yeah, I've been on the Universal Studios tour before, so I recognized Wait. Allegedly.
Allegedly,
right. Of course. Yeah. All this is speculation. Right.
Right. Yeah. I allegedly recognized a possibility to find my own way back to the hotel.
So there's a tram, and it's got like the four cars behind it or whatever, holds like 300 people. And you think, allegedly, maybe this will get me back to the hotel, allegedly.
Yeah, it seemed to run fine.
Did it have keys in it, allegedly?
Yes, I believe they said it. Someone told me it had keys in it.
How about that? Okay.
Isn't that crazy that they would leave them like that? I mean, frankly, as far as I look at it, they're begging you to steal it at that point.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Okay, so you allegedly get in and start the tram. Now you're going to drive it to the hotel and give it to the valet and say, take care of this?
That
was your plan?
I think that's a pretty good plan.
Okay, then... At what point did you turn the wrong direction and just end up on touring down by the Psycho House? And
my partner, my passenger, our alleged passenger.
No, he was the driver, Fletcher.
Yeah,
okay. That's what I heard.
Yeah, the driver.
Let's throw him under the tram.
Apparently someone sent a text that said you turned the wrong way. Someone that was in the shuttle, because apparently we drove right past the shuttle and the pickup spot at the Acoustic Christmas. And,
I see.
Let's see. I think someone knew they were turning the wrong way because they just wanted to take a quick tour of the back lot, you know.
I gotcha.
You know, like when you're a kid, you know, relive the memories.
Did that somebody who decided to take the tour of the Universal lot count on the fact that the tram would allegedly run out of gas?
No.
Didn't count on that.
They were prepared for that.
Right.
I believe what I heard it was about time to enter the Jaws set, you know, where the shark jumps out of the water and tries to bite you.
Right.
And so I think that's about where the...
And they ran out of gas. And then, allegedly, the Crypt Keeper showed up in a van.
Yes, apparently there was an older gentleman. Someone told them that they were having mechanical difficulties and we needed a ride to the parking gate, you know.
Okay.
Figuring that's the next step is to get off the property.
Right.
Yeah.
So and then did someone allegedly realize that that's not where the Crypt Keeper was driving, so they pulled the emergency brake?
I think it was a little bit different. I believe that we were, he said, yeah, it's cool. Like, he'll give us a ride up there. We were cruising along, and they were cruising along. And so I think they said, take a left here. And he kept going straight. And he said, I got to stop by somewhere real quick. And we said,
no, you don't.
No, we need to head up this road. And he said, well, I got to make a quick stop. Bear with me real quick. I said, someone said, sir, you're going to have to stop the vehicle now. And he just stepped on the gas.
Right.
And then that's when things got a little bit different.
Emergency brake or put it in reverse or what?
Yeah, I think it was reverse.
Reverse, okay.
Oh, and that couldn't be good.
And that's good on it. And then was somebody allegedly hiding in the War of the Worlds exhibit?
Yes.
They were? Okay.
Well,
how long were they allegedly hiding there?
Probably about a half an hour.
Oh my God!
What a night!
They might have been hiding in the fuselage of the 747, which is actually pretty comfortable.
And about the only place where that guy could probably hide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it was pouring down rain at that time for some reason, so it was actually a nice shelter. I heard.
So when did the police show up?
Well, allegedly, I was trying to make my way. Oh, yeah. What happened? This really happened. At that point, I had really just left K-Rock, and I had stumbled into the woods drunk, and I had thrown up.
Right.
Right. That's what really happened.
Sure, of course.
And so that's when the security guard accosted me and started screaming for backup, saying he had one of the suspects, and I was like, what are you talking about? Suspect of what?
You were just thrown up. What do you know about?
Yeah, I was lost.
Right.
In the back lot. And that's when about five sheriffs showed up and proceeded to get mad, extremely mad at me.
Yeah.
They had the taser out.
Did one of them allegedly have the taser pointed at your balls?
Yes. He had it pointed at my privates, and he told
me,
do you see where the red light is? And I said, what? I said, yeah, I see it. He said, you know how bad that's going to hurt? I mean, he used a little profanity with this. And I said, man, what? I don't understand. You know, what are you guys tripping on? And they were just like... they weren't having it. They were really upset, but at the same time, it was they were pretty comical. The guy kind of reminded me of the dude in Harold and Kumar. And, but he really wanted. wanted to tase me real bad. I mean, I was obviously a little bit bigger than they were.
Sure.
But they let me know that this isn't Hermosa Beach. They asked me where I was from, and this isn't Hermosa Beach PD. This is the Sheriff's Department. And for anyone that's been to county jail, you know you don't mess with the sheriff.
You don't mess with them,
right. That's the real deal.
I don't know that I've ever, other than the hangover, I've never seen somebody actually target a body part with the taser.
Yeah, he started out on my heart.
Usually the tasers just anywhere is enough.
Yeah, I mean, when he was pointing at my balls, I just kind of started laughing. I couldn't help it, and he was like, he was hell bent on like blasting me. He said, "I'm going to cook you. I'm going to cook you." And I was like, I was kind of thinking it might be kind of funny to get tased, but I have a feeling it's going to hurt pretty bad.
Yeah.
This is the voice of Fletcher from Pennywise. We're recounting his alleged night that happened Saturday after the Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. The bottom line, though, is you ended up essentially talking your way out of it. You did not get arrested or taken away or anything like that, and all is forgiven, right?
I guess. I hope so.
And you have a lifetime pass for Universal now, which I thought that was very understanding of them.
The Crypt Keeper, they brought him back for an ID.
Right.
To positively identify me, and apparently, for some reason, he decided that he never saw me, is what I was told.
Really?
How could you miss you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I wasn't the one driving the tram. That's why when he got there, he was like, oh, no, that's not the guy that was in my van.
Nice.
Awesome.
Isn't that nice?
Wow, that's great for the Crypt Keeper.
You know, Fletcher is responsible for about 40% of the Bigfoot sightings in this country. A lot of people don't realize that.
Absolutely. But,
for whatever reason, this guy didn't see it. So seriously, if you wanted to go up to the movies at Universal City or something like that, would they have your picture up there on the wall? You're not allowed to get up there at all anymore?
That's what they told me. I mean, when they were... at one point, they asked me what I was doing, and I told them that I was playing in a band tonight, and which was, you know, a little bit of an exaggeration. And then I said I was supposed to play a song with the AFI, and they said, "You're a liar." And I said, "No, no." And then I eventually told them I was in Pennywise, and they didn't believe that either.
Right.
And I guess they knew the band, so they took me back up to Acoustic Christmas in the car, and they were telling me that after the guy ID'd me, this is kind of the scary part. They're like, they said, like, "You're going downtown." And I'm like, "For what?" And they're like, "You've been positively identified. You're going to jail for Grand Theft Auto, attempted kidnapping, attempted carjacking, and assault." And I was like,
"Dude,
whoa, that's kind of rough for a guy that just stumbled into the woods drunk to throw up.
Throw up, right. That seems like a lot."
And so they took me back, and they go, "We're going to find out who you are." And the one guy, like, so I'm literally right where the shuttle picks up.
Right.
Like,
where you were supposed to be when you allegedly saw the tram.
Right. I'm back in the back of the squad car, and the other guy's in the front, and the other guy gets out, and the other guy in the front tells me, you know, "If I Google your name right now, you're telling me it's going to come up." I said, "Yeah, go ahead." So I think he broke out his iPhone, started Googling. The other guy came back and goes, "Hey, man, this dude's legit. This is the guitar player for Pennywise. I can't believe this." And they all kind of, then it got pretty funny. And then it got and they're like, "We're letting you go, and you're not getting arrested. You're never allowed on Universal property again." You know.
And by that, they meant that night.
Yeah, I mean, by next year, all will be forgotten, right?
Now, ladies and gentlemen, a happy ending.
Are there any parts of the story that we missed out that you think we need to know?
I think we got it covered.
Got it covered. All right.
Yeah, I mean, well, actually, I asked him for a ride to the Renaissance. They asked me where I was going. I said, "Drop me up at the Renaissance."
The Sheriff's Department?
Yeah, and they told me to kick rocks on that one. They weren't into that. So they dropped me off at the taxi cab stand, and then, like, they told this cab driver, they said, "Get in that cab right there." And I got in, and the cab driver said, "No, no, no." And he threw me out of his cab. And I was like, "No, the sheriff's told you to take me to the Renaissance." And he said, "No, no." And
why did he throw you out? Because it's not far enough?
I don't think he liked the effect that a guy just got out of a cop car that looked like
and the smell of vomit, too.
Yeah. So, and I might have been a little inebriated at that point, so.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
Kevin was so right when he said, "Once you see Fletcher at a party, that's when you know it's going off."
I saw him twice at the beginning of the night. I said, "The party's on." Right. He said, "Yeah." And then I saw him later, and I don't even think you remember this. And I said, it's on now, right? And he goes, "Oh, it's getting close." So anyway, Fletcher, the reason we wanted to talk to you has nothing to do with all that.
It's the
Affliction Christmas concert.
Yes.
Which is this Saturday at Long Beach Arena.
Your favorite clothing company.
Love them.
That's right. There couldn't be more awesome. All right. Completely sold out, benefiting Amnesty International. Sounds like a great show. Have a fantastic 2010, Fletcher. We always enjoy having you on the show. I can't wait to talk to you next year, dude.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to have to come and discuss. guys, I guess.
Please do.
Take care.
All right, guys.
Rob Dyrdek joins us in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph has another look at the showbiz beat for a Tuesday.
Rob Durden, right? That was coming on?
Dyrdek.
Rob Durden.
Why would you call him that? That's stupid.
I don't know. That's what you told me. Many, many times was his name. That's why I assumed his name was that.
Yeah, it's not.
Oh, the Jersey Shore just is a gift that keeps on giving. It is just, it is an endless source of entertainment.
It's like TV herpes.
Not only do you get the TV show every week on MTV, you get to watch the Guidos and the Guidettes down there at the beach.
Right.
But now they're interviewing them, and you get to hear, like, bonus talk from the losers on the Jersey Shore. And there's a Jersey Shore nickname generator online where you can get your own Jersey Shore nickname.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
We did it in the office the other day.
How come I can't get a cool one?
We did it in the office. Dave punched in his name. His came up D-Muscle. That was his Guido nickname. I ended up being R-Train. Alex was A-Pop. Mike was the Tricep.
Yeah. Oh, wow. How perfect.
How perfect. Kevin's name we punched in, I kid you not, it came up the Sausage Party.
Why am I the Sausage Party when you guys have R-Train and stuff like that?
We don't know. You tell us why you're the Sausage Party.
Come on now.
What kind of parties are you having at your house?
We're on the sausage hunt right now.
Yeah, you're getting all the sausage. That's all I know.
Not a sausage party.
Anyway, that's Kevin's Jersey Shore nickname. Anyway, Extra has interviewed Snooki. Now, Snooki, who's famously the girl who got punched in the face.
Oh, yeah.
In this week's delicious episode of Jersey Shore, which apparently MTV has decided to edit out of the program.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah.
It's been on
YouTube. It's been on YouTube for a week and a half, hasn't it?
Not good enough. I wanted big screen HD punching in the face of Snooki.
It's not. It's ugly.
Yeah.
It's way ugly.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, but it's ugly.
Yeah.
Do you guys think the Sausage Party could take the situation?
I don't know. That'd be a throwdown at the old T-shirt store there on the boardwalk. So Snooki was interviewed by Extra. She said, after this, I'm hoping to stay in reality. I'm hoping to get my own show. We'll see where it goes from here. See, this is the problem with these shows.
Oh, I hope right. It all happens.
It breeds more of their own kind. To which I was thinking, she wants her own show. The only interesting thing she's done on this show so far is get punched in the face.
Yeah, well.
So if she's willing to make a deal where every week someone else will punch her in the face,
I
will give her own show. I will gladly produce a show where she gets punched in the face every week.
I don't think that's
I love it.
They're going for
it. It's a hit.
These reality kids, they don't understand that just because someone puts a camera on them doesn't mean they have talent or they're interesting or they have anything to contribute to the world.
21-year-old was asked if the attack on her has changed her view of reality television at all. No, I love this, she said.
Wow. Wow.
She's not smart.
She is not smart. That's correct. Yeah.
I'm just saying. I want a Snooki Punch Fest. That's all I want. Snooki Punch Fest, I think.
Good
that was my old radio name. Back when I started in the 50,000-watt station in Albuquerque.
You were working on The Fist, weren't you?
What? Today, the Golden Globe nominations were released. These are the awards given by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. Every year, they give it to the best in movies and in television. I mentioned the movies that were nominated and the actors in those movies in the last hour. This hour, let's take a look at the best of television, shall we? Best drama series. Your nominees are Big Love, Dexter, House, Mad Men, and True Blood.
Dexter, thank you. Next.
Mad Men, which you've seen a half an episode,
Dexter,
would
next.
Give it a run for its money, certainly. 30 Rock, Entourage, Glee, Modern Family, and Office are for Best Comedy or Musical TV Series.
How about that Modern Family out of the gate, first season getting a nomination, by
the way? I'll tell you, it's a funny, show. Funny show.
That is a great show.
Few shows make me laugh out loud
yep.
on television.
And The Office is still great.
Yes,
absolutely.
As well. Simon Baker, Michael C. Hall, John Hamm, Hugh Laurie, and Bill Paxton. Are the performances from an actor in a drama that are nominated. Best performance by an actress in a drama, Glenn Close, January Jones, Juliana Margulies. That Good Wife, by the way, is a real good show, too. Anna Paquin, Kira Sedgwick. Best actor in a comedy or musical, Alec Baldwin, Steve Carell, Dave Duchovny, Thomas Jane, and Matthew Morrison, who is the lead in Glee. Toni Collette, Courtney Cox, Edie Falco, Tina Fey, and Lea Michele. From Glee also, rounding out the women in the best music or comedy performance. Supporting actors. Now, here is an interesting group. For drama, Michael Emerson from Lost.
Okay.
Neil Patrick Harris, How I Met Your Mother. Wait a minute. What? Huh? Oh, this is both. This is both drama and comedy.
Oh, okay.
There's no difference here. William Hurt for Damages, Jeremy Piven for Entourage, and John Lithgow for Dexter.
Oh, it's got to be John Lithgow.
Best Supporting, Jane Addams for Hung, Rose Byrne for Damages, Jane Lynch for Glee. She should be. She should get it.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
So good.
She is, steals that show every time she's on.
Janet McTeer from Into the Storm, and Chloe Sevigny for Big Love.
Dexter for that one, too.
Dexter wasn't even a nominee.
Doesn't matter. He deserves it.
Just because it's the one show you watch doesn't mean it can win everything.
In my world, it
would. No, but I'm saying we don't live in your world.
You're
well,
assume.
When Kevin, when you start your own award show and you give out the sausage as an award
sausage
every year,
party awards,
you can give them all to Dexter.
Kevin's
and accepting the sausage.
Sausage party.
Stop. What was that?
Coughed. I'm drinking coffee. Oh. Yeah. Choked on my coffee.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Adam Brody from The OC is 30 years old today. Actor Stuart Townsend, who was not only a talented and handsome actor, but also... I got a text. I have to go check that out. Stuart Townsend is texting me. Charlize says hi, says here in the text.
It doesn't say that.
It does. He is 37 years old. He's also the boyfriend slash husband of Charlize Theron, who, by the way, we can't get on the show anymore. The one time we were supposed to have her was for Hancock a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys quit or something for a day or got suspended or something, and we couldn't come on. And so she was angry at you. And
I don't think that's the case.
And
we
talked
busy.
About you a lot bit. And made fun of you. And then she said she's going to come back on soon, but we haven't seen her for a while.
She's very, very busy.
I know, but I miss her.
I do, too.
There used to be a time she'd come in just for my birthday.
Yeah.
Before she met him. Before she met what's his name? Birthday boy.
Stuart Townsend, the guy you just said.
That guy.
Yeah.
Before she met him, it was all roses and cupcakes.
Right.
Now, she doesn't show up anymore.
Suck it.
Just saying. And Don Johnson, who gave us not only Miami Vice and Nash Bridges, but Heartbeat. Yeah.
That song happened.
Oh.
And
so
it was
good.
A hit.
So good, because it's great.
What number, Bean? You know.
Five.
Number five.
Number five.
Bean can do that with any song in history. It's unbelievable.
In the Summertime, Mungo Jerry.
Three.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to go check it out.
I'm going to check it.
And if he's right, I could be wrong.
If he's right, you should kick him in the nads, because that's weird, too.
If he's right, I'll kiss him in the nads. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for Tuesday. Kevin, I know you hate the Twitter. I know you are a reluctant user of the Twitter. But every time I go to my Twitter page, it's like another present. It's like Christmas every day. I'm looking at a picture right now that was taken in a studio in L.A. of Travis Barker, Rob Dyrdek, a.k.a. Bobby Light, and Pharrell. That's a photo from last night that I'm looking at on my email right now. Never would have seen that before if it hadn't been for the
you're
Twitter.
You're just upset because I don't follow your Twitter. I follow Rob's.
I do. Hey, Rob Dyrdek, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Hello. I knew for sure you were going to say something about that. I knew it.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, that's got to be a big deal even for you, you know? I mean, to be in the studio with those two guys, I mean, that's pretty ballin', dude.
Oh, man, it's so fun to go to the studio and hear them play music for each other of all the stuff they're working on. You know, it's incredible.
And then you go, okay, now I'm going to come in and I'm really going to lay it down.
No, I'm just kidding. They're trying to convince me to do a Bobby Light album. I'm like, man, I'm a skateboarder. I just do that for fun.
You could do a Christmas single or something. Come on, man.
You want to know what I did propose to them? If they'd be down to do a musical for charity.
A musical. Awesome. Awesome. That would be fantastic.
Well, it was fun. Well, listen, we got a bunch of stuff we got to talk to you about. Where do you want to start? You want to start with the new skate opening?
I'd like to start with how you just have never been able to. We've never been able to connect and get you down to the Fantasy Factory.
Yeah.
And then when I had my assistant reach out to you, she said it wanted to make sure if I was correct.
Here's what happened.
Because she was saying like you acted like you never even. I have no idea what you're talking about. I guess.
No. Here's what happened. I imposed on Rob when he was here. I said my kids would love to come down to the Fantasy Factory.
I remember that.
Okay. So he said fine. Probably no problem anytime. So he gave me his phone number. Okay. So I called and left a message. And a month later, I got a call back from Rob.
Oh.
And then I picked that up about 3 weeks after he left it. And then a month after that, I left another message, right? And then I got a note from his assistant. I guess your assistant talked to somebody at one of the phone ops here at K-Rock.
Because I didn't have your phone number.
I know.
In that gap, I was in between assistants. So I was like, that's why that occurred. I usually don't operate like that.
I operate like that all the time, unfortunately. So then I gave that message a month after I got it to my wife.
who now hopefully my wife is hooking it up so that they can make things happen, because I don't think I'm the guy that needs to
no,
be I don't think so flow of information.
But no, we did that at the Shinoda Art Show.
I know, that was a
and
long...
And the reason I had her come out to you, because Shinoda was down there and all these people were down that day, so I figured it would be like a great day for you to come down with the fam.
Yeah,
well, it sure would have been. Sure
would
have
been cool.
Hey,
I'm
speaking
lame,
of the fantasy,
Rob, you know that.
You should have known that by now. You should realize that for reals, Rob, that he's slow like that. Hey, speaking of the Fantasy Factory, are you really looking for suggestions of things to do on the next season of the show?
You know, I love to hear. You never know where you're going to gain inspiration from, so I just threw it out there, and I got some pretty solid ideas that I might attempt to interject into the show next season.
Well, we got a new one for you, because Psycho Mike, you know, is a huge fan of the Fantasy Factory. He's here. He's got some ideas for you, Rob.
Listen to this. Last season, you made a guy who's on YouTube as a dancing sensation. You made his dream come true of coming in and making a real big-time Hollywood-level dance
okay,
video.
Before we go on, I know this is going to turn porn right now.
No.
I know this is going to turn into porn
you know
right
Mike.
Now. I can just tell. Yeah. I can just tell.
Well, listen.
Well, no, this is legit. So last year you made a guy's dream of becoming a dancer come true with a real Hollywood-level music video or dance video.
That's right.
I am a struggling YouTube music sensation.
Okay.
You should make my dream come true of becoming having a legit, real, high-level rap song with a rap video.
Okay, this is where I want you to start, by sending me comments with your videos. And in 2 years, when you have the drive and the fortitude, season 7, we're doing it.
Season 7. All right,
that's a good answer.
All right.
That's a good answer.
It's a date. All right, let's talk real quick, Rob, about the new Safe Spot Skate Spot opening, which is a name I'll never be able to successfully say again. It will be one of the premier skating facilities in the country when it opens this weekend. Am I right?
Again, it's more like, it's not as much like these grand skate parks that are millions of dollars. More conceptually what it is, you know, taking just a corner of an existing park and building a beautiful urban plaza that's open and free to the public to skate. That's sort of the movement that I'm doing, and my first sort of push is doing them all over Los Angeles, which is the biggest skate city in the world, and this will be my second one, and I got 3 other ones on their way that'll be happening in the spring, and it's just the city itself, you know, everyone at Rec and Parks. I have to really say thank you to everybody there, because they have just seriously opened up the city, and as much money as I can raise and make happen to get these places built for kids, they have supported me 100%.
And this one, $325,000 is no small amount of money
no.
to raise. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm telling you, man, the city of Los Angeles has really embraced this concept with me, and they have just, you know, we're going to build them all over the city and use Los Angeles, which is the biggest skate city in the world, as sort of the future model of how cities worldwide will address what they build for skaters, you know.
And the reason you do that, and I think you explained this to us one time you were in before, is that there are a lot of kids who don't have a place that they can go that is safe and free where they can skate, right?
No, there's none.
Yeah.
There's none. You know, and with no fences, come and go as you please, like open, real street environment, you know, there's two in this country, you know, and especially in Los Angeles, there's only two places. There's a handful of skate parks. But there's no real street plazas except for these two in this entire city,
right.
The entire West Coast.
Wow. Well, you're going to be down there at Thursday at 3 o'clock. We're talking about the Hollenbeck Park, which is in downtown L.A., right?
Yeah, it's in Boyle Heights, right off the 6th Street Bridge on the east side of downtown.
And what happens? You're going to be out there with the giant scissors and cut a ribbon and kind of just officially open it for the kids? Is that what happens Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of the formality of you know, breaking it open for everybody to skate, even though if you go there, there's like 100 kids there a day already before it's even open.
Right. Yeah, it's not open exactly yet, but they're already doing it.
Yeah.
Are you going to bring the world's largest skateboard down?
It is too heavy.
No, it isn't.
It's too heavy.
I get all those kids to push it.
You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying?
I've turned it up on its side, and it's never moving again.
Okay, all right.
Are you bringing any of the Bulldogs with you, Rob?
The Bulldogs will not be in attendance.
Okay.
You know, the one skating Bulldog is lazy, and they sleep till like 10 o'clock. It's the weirdest thing.
They don't have time for your nonsense.
They don't. I get up at 7 in the morning, and you just want the puppies to be alive, and they sleep till 10.
Yeah.
Yep, they sure do. They sure can't snore. All right, keep up with all the information on the Fantasy Factory, on the new skate parks, on the music career of Bobby Light, and more at deerdick.com. No Rob, just deerdick.com. Rob, it's been a joy talking to you in 2009, man. I can't wait to see what you got next in 2010. We'll look forward to talking to you again. Have a great holiday, my friend.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Rob.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Sausage Party, I've got a question for you.
I am not Sausage Party. That's not my nickname.
That's your Jersey Shore nickname from the nickname generator.
I want to try it again.
What about Santa Carl? I'm getting so many emails yesterday and today from people who say they've got their little four-year-old boy or girl who wants to talk to Santa Carl. When's that happening?
Santa Carl will be tomorrow morning.
Yes.
Tomorrow morning.
For reals?
Yes, for reals.
Do you sit on a throne of lies, or is that really happening?
Both. I mean, I lie a lot, but in this particular case, I'm telling the truth.
Okay.
Okay, so Santa Carl tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, I don't know why, but our friend Mole is on the line. Let's squeeze him
Kevin
in real
quick. You know who it is?
Yeah. Well, we said our friend Mole is on the phone. That's why we went to you. What's going on, Mole?
Hey.
What?
What a show last night. I finally got to see the Santa Claus show, dudes.
The Santa Claus
the
show.
The Acoustic Christmas shows over the weekend?
It was awesome.
Oh, good. I didn't know you were there. I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah, I got to tell you something. I snuck in.
But last night?
Here's what I did. I went to the Army-Navy store.
Right.
And I got a security jacket.
Right.
And I also got some nunchucks. Right. And then I went in and I snuck in. What a show.
It was very confusing,
though.
What?
Our shows were Saturday and Sunday night. Are you sure you're talking about the same concert?
Well, here's where it was Okay, so what I did was I got ready for the part for the show.
Right.
I mixed some pills with some Dippin' Dots. And you know how you can't stop eating Dippin' Dots?
Right.
So I got a little turned around, and then I went into the show, and what was confusing was why were there all those old school R&B bands, and why was Art LeBeau hosting the Acoustic Christmas?
Well, that wasn't our show.
Your show was at Pechanga, wasn't it?
No. There must have been some sort of lowrider oldies show or something that Art LeBeau was hosting. That's his thing. That wasn't us. We were at the Gibson Amphitheater with rock bands like AFI over the weekend.
If it wasn't the Acoustic Christmas, why did the Isley Brothers rock out so much?
Well, I don't know, but they haven't made new music, I don't think, for 40 years.
Is that why Vampire Weekend never showed up?
Right. They were at our show.
They
were on Sunday night.
I wanted to see Nicolas Cage the elephant.
That was Sunday night too, sort of.
Oh.
Sorry, dude.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Why are you up so early? Are you doing the fish report?
We're on every day at this time, Mole. We've had you on the show many times. We're on at this time every single day.
You want me to do the fish report?
Yes.
Okay, if you're heading out of a dino special, you're doing getting pretty good action on rockfish and sculpin. And don't forget, if you get nauseated, have a little medicine.
Okay.
Well, that's good advice for the kids.
That's some good advice for the kids. All right, well, we're glad you enjoyed whatever show you went to last night.
Did you get to hang out with the Stylistics backstage?
No, the Stylistics were not at our show.
Hey, how much are we spending on Secret Santa this year?
We don't have $1,000. We don't have a Secret Santa program, but if we did.
I just found a Dippin' Dot on the floor.
Take it. Good?
Oh, good. You guys want to go see Avatars?
More than anything. The Great Wham on the world famous K-Rock 106.7.
Jim Eat World.
Jim Eat World. KROQ, it is 9:41.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, I know that you're excited and very much looking forward to the Christmas party in the lobby of the radio station.
Second floor lobby. See you all there.
Thursday afternoon at 3, yes, during work hours. No alcohol, no spouse. No. I got some great news for you, though. We have been invited to another party. I think it's another party.
What?
I don't know if you're interested, if you got room for two in your calendar, but let's check this out.
Yeah, Eric. Yeah, this is Mr. Khan, man. Listen, I want you to come to this holiday party with me, man. We've had some wrong parties in the past, so I want you to go to the second level of a broadcast building and meet me in the lobby, all right? Oh. We're going to have snacks and drinks and especially holiday cheer, all right? But we need some Dixie cups, man. We need plenty, all right? So go down to CBS and take care of that for me, all right? Yeah, man, a holiday party. Mistletoe.
Oh, that doesn't sound any better than our party.
It's like a double cross to me.
It is a double cross.
Showing up.
All right, time for the showbiz beat one more time. Here's Ralph.
Kourtney Kardashian had her baby yesterday morning here in Los Angeles.
Wendell!
E! News is reporting that Mason-Disick arrived here on planet Earth weighing it at 7 pounds and 6 ounces.
Imagine if Chloe Mason had a baby. If Chloe had a baby, it'd be like 47 pounds, 96 ounces.
She'd drop like a bull elephant calf. She'd have birth standing up, and it would just come out, and would come out on its legs and start walking around and everything.
Smoking.
Looking to nurse right away. Making that noise.
Just don't get Kim pregnant. That's all I'm saying. All right, Reggie? Leave her the way she is.
Well, that's already ruined. Kidding me? Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
He's looking for daylight. You know what I'm saying?
You saw what Ray J did to it.
Exactly. Have you ever had a problem of drunk buying?
Oh, yeah.
Kidding?
Sausage party? Of course.
Everything I own, I got drunk. Malibu Cabin.
I never think it was a big issue, drunk buying.
Well, what you mean, like online shopping? You're wasted, then you go online and start just buying stuff?
I guess you could do it online anywhere, I guess.
Yeah, it happens to me a lot.
What, you get loaded, then you go online?
Yeah,
you buy stuff?
And then stuff shows up, and I go, I sure remember ordering this.
Why are you buying stuff
drunk? And then I go back, I don't know.
Wow. Anyway, Hugh Grant apparently has the same problem Kevin does. He did an interview this week where he said that he once purchased a painting of Elizabeth Taylor by Andy Warhol when he was drunk in New York City.
Well, that's the only reason you'd want to buy that.
He paid $3.2 million for the piece.
Wow!
He doesn't remember
that? In 2001. He was drunk, and he saw it. Apparently, they were at went by some art gallery, and he saw it, and he wrote a check for $3.2 million in 2001.
Wow!
Here's the thing. He turned around 6 years later, 2007, sold it for $20 million.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding?
So it was one of the best purchases he ever made, and he did it completely loaded off his ass. How about that? It was an original Andy Warhol painting.
So we should all do that,
then?
So
I'm saying, Kevin, you're probably going to be real rich in a couple of years.
Yeah. I'm sure that's going
to
happen to me.
All those good purchases you made online while you were drunk.
Yeah.
Not to go off on an art jag here, but those Andy Warhol paintings, like the one you described, I mean, they're popular because Andy Warhol was such a personality, not because they're artistically good, right?
I couldn't tell
you. What do you think? Look, you can't debate art. I mean, Andy Warhol is considered a vanguard in the world of pop art. I mean, he was one of the originators of that style. So if you're a fan of that genre, if you like the Lichtensteins and the Andy Warhols and that kind of stuff, then you would want that, I guess.
I guess. $20 million worth?
Wow.
All right.
That's an amazing mistake he made.
It's a good mistake.
$17 million profit.
It's a real good mistake.
No kidding.
Orlando Bloom is not engaged to Miranda Kerr. Internet rumors popped up yesterday saying that the Pirates of the Caribbean actor had popped the question to his supermodel girlfriend while during a romantic getaway in Morocco, but both reps from both sides have denied the story and saying it's not the case. Besides, women can't get married anywhere in the United States anyway, so it wouldn't be wish worse than getting engaged. Can't have two women getting married. It's not legal anywhere, right?
That's true.
No.
Sure about legalized male prostitution coming to Nevada?
No.
Yeah. How about that?
Right.
Psycho Mike finally a career he can get behind. So to speak.
Or use, whether he's... Either way.
Apparently, they're saying they're going to start soon. They've signed off on all the medical testing the state has for what it needs to keep everyone healthy. And apparently the next step is just to hire male prostitutes.
You've done the research, Ralph, on a number of topics, thanks to your Playboy years. Are there occasions where a woman would choose to pay for it rather than get it when it would so easy for her to get anyway?
Yes.
I think so, because it's not so easy for all women. And some women
especially
have
ugly,
some
fat
issues.
Women.
Exactly.
Old, ugly, and fat. I think it's going to be more like a party novelty trick. Like if you're in Nevada, if you're in Vegas, and you're in the bachelor party or whatever, maybe the girls will go off to this place to see the boys and then maybe, you know, buy some. A lot of dudes are going to be doing it, I'll tell you that much. A lot of fellas.
Yes.
A lot
yeah.
of fellas are going to be showing up.
One behind me.
Yep.
It's going to be a mostly gay place.
You're going to have one behind you?
Well, if you prefer it, one behind Kevin. So I have the sausage party.
He is the sausage party.
Interesting, while I was reading this story, I found out that in 25 years in Nevada, they have never had one professional sex worker come down with a case of HIV.
No kidding.
So
wow.
they're testing works,
that's
apparently,
impressive.
In that state.
So. Yeah.
Just thought that was interesting. I'm so going to do that for a living.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'm your whore. Let's go. Back room, you and me.
My name's Psycho Mike. Let's go.
Would you be professional enough, Ralph, that you'd be able to get the job done regardless of what the woman looked like, though?
Yeah, you'd have to.
I mean, I know that's what they pay you to do, is to treat that woman like she's the most beautiful woman on earth when she walks in. But how tough would that be physically?
I think in the Viagra Cialis world we live in, it wouldn't be nearly as much of a problem as it could have been 10 years ago.
Sure. Right.
You know?
Because you're going to want to run. You're going to want to turn and just get the hell out of there.
What happens when Precious comes in there to buy you?
Yeah. Great example.
I just lube up her forehead and go for it.
Oh!
You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, he's gross.
Yeah, and besides that big fatty forehead of yours, Precious.
If the boner police are here, I demand a lawyer.
Today's celebrity birthday is Adam Brody from the OC. He is 30 years old today. Actor Stuart Townsend. Jerk. No, he's
and
very
by
nice
jerk,
guy.
You mean talented,
very
nice good
guy.
Looking,
very
nice
talented,
guy.
Good looking. And also the de facto husband of Charlize Theron.
Suck it.
Yeah. They're a good couple, too, which makes me very unhappy. Yeah. He's 37. And Don Johnson, actor?
All right.
Sure. Director? Of course. Singer? Par excellence?
Heartbeat.
Yeah, heartbeat.
I'm looking for a heartbeat.
That's right, that's right. Heartbeat.
Jay-Z.
Beat the heart, beat the heart, beat the heart, beat the heart, heartbeat. My new remix. By the way, we said heartbeat. Top 10, what was it? Bean barked out.
Fifth.
He was right. So I said, jokingly, like a weird novelty song in the summertime, Mungo Jerry, I shouted out.
Right.
Went to number three. And I said I was going to do some research.
Uh-huh.
I went to number three.
Yeah.
And...
Bean's knowledge. Bean's knowledge about where the songs went on the charts is encyclopedic and scary.
And should be dealt with somehow.
And he told us that off the air. And I said, so Bean, can you really not admit that you have some form of Asperger's or autism, any type of autism? No, it's just when I was young, I really liked charts. Really liked charts.
I like numbers of things that are on charts. Well, that's not Asperger's at all, is it?
Nothing weird about it.
Not a symptom of Asperger's whatsoever.
You could name any song in the last 40 years, and he would be about 99% on
where they
went on the charts. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
He's always been like that.
We should test this.
Always
there's
been
some
like
stuff
that
just sticks with you. You know, I mean,
not
it's just,
with me. Not like that.
Yeah, you know what? No, Mungo Jerry sticks with no one.
Correct.
Not even Mungo. Or Jerry. Neither of those two guys know where they landed on the charts.
This isn't any different, though, than your encyclopedic knowledge of supporting actors on television and movies.
Different.
Guys that we would
very
never
different.
Be able to put a face to a name, though, and you know every one of
names
them because that's
faces,
the field you're interested
that,
in.
Those are people. Those are things that exist. Random numbers on a chart from 1 to 100, knowing those is a freakish obsession with minutia.
Spin Doctor's Two Princes.
I'm not playing this game.
No!
Come on! Come on, freak dance!
I said seven, but I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to play anymore.
Oh,
I'm embarrassed.
Princess.
Wow.
Maggie Mae, Rod Stewart.
One.
Oh,
what?
Are you kidding me?
Asshole.
I mean, one.
Yeah, all right, Sausage Party, it's up to you.
All right.
You're Ralph Garber. Did you watch the show?
I do all that, yes. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have the movie beat tomorrow. As it is our last day before vacation.
Mm-hmm.
We have calling QVC for Lisa.
It's time to get her a Christmas present.
Every year for Christmas, we just blind call QVC. Whatever they're selling at that moment, she gets.
I say we send her to Nevada to break in one of those male whores.
this year.
That's way too expensive, Ralph. We
Lisa,
to keep it around the $30 mark.
Right.
We may have done this, I don't know, 10, 12 times. I mean, it has been a long-running bit on the program. Has there ever one year been a gift that you got and said, I like it, it's good?
No.
What about the Tiffany type lampshade lamp making kit?
Still in the closet. In the that was good because I traded it for something good.
Yeah. Traded it for a gym membership, if
that's
I recall
right.
correctly.
Also, tomorrow morning, Adam Carolla in studio.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning, Jimmy Kimmel in studio.
Ooh.
Wow.
And tomorrow morning, Santa Carl.
Hello there.
That's all on the all new show tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Ho.
All right, don't go away. Speaking of hoes, Kat Corbett's up next for 20 minutes nonstop K-Rock. She's got The Sublime on the way, Amberlynn, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Weezer, Bad Religion, and more right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.